tonight, we bring you Orange Lounge Radio Episode 700. Also tonight, we catch up on the latest Nintendo Direct, what will and won't be coming to the Switch, and the unbridled popularity causes Nintendo to reconsider the Famicom Classic. Stay tuned for this and so much more starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 700, that is 700, of our program for this September the 17th of 2017. My name is Rob Roberts, here with my co-hosts in Studio N7, based out of Sacramento, California, here to talk about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. Hello, hello, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Poop.
How are you?
Poop.
Nope. Whoop, woot? That's all you have to say after 700 episodes?
I said poop.
Oh, poop. That's, well, I guess, you know, talking poop emojis are the rage this week, so why not?
Oh, my God. Nah, I'm doing okay. I'm good. Just looking at wish.com, and this site is such a train wreck.
What is that?
It's like where you can buy stuff for cheap, and you really never know what you're going to get.
That sounds awful. First off, I don't want to give them free advertising, but that's... So wait, you just... Am I hearing this right? You give somebody money, and you're saying, give me a treat, and you don't know what treat you're going to get.
No. You can pick the item.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's like, I've gotten, like, stuff for, like, very, very drag things and cosplay stuff from here, so...
I was going to say, I could just imagine where it's like, you know, I give money and it's like, I like Metroid. And then they gift me, oh, you get a copy of Metroid Federation Force. No.
No.
That's not what I meant.
That's not how it works.
Okay, good. Good. Also joining us, of course, as he does every week, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
Fine.
Yeah. You went to a little show with the kid yesterday, right?
Yeah.
One of the kids.
Went to this, like, it's like Disney on Ice for... people that like superheroes, I guess, but without the ice. And so it's like
Disney on pavement.
It was sort of, yeah. It's Marvel Universe Live. So I tried to take my son to it a while ago when he was much younger and he was afraid. So we took him again and he sat through it and complained. But he enjoyed it, he says. I don't know.
He may or may not have been being truthful.
He may have been a little too old for it. Like, he's kind of like, you know, he knows that they're just people in costumes. He's not really like, you know, he's like, okay, I know. Yeah.
So he was too young before, and now he's too old this time. Like,
yeah.
There's really
he was very sensitive because, like, they have explosions and fireworks and stuff. Like, you know, stage effects, you know, little fire things and stuff. This year, because we didn't really watch the last time we came through, but... from what I saw online and what, like, the few 5 minutes that we were there, there was a lot more, like, elaborate stunts going on versus this year. It's very tame.
Would it have been more exciting if it was on ice?
No. It would have been weird.
All right. And hello to all of you in our chat room, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Black Wolf show, 6-ish Pacific. I think we're getting a start at 6:15 tonight because Bobby ran a little long, but we don't mind because he always has us on at the end of his show, so sometimes that's why it goes a little long. But you guys can chat along with us, of course, in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com, where Mega Man X400... starts us off tonight saying, "Grats, you old bitches." I can think of no better comment to start off tonight's show. Thank you very much. And there's been a lot of kind words on Twitter and places like that. People saying congratulations on 700 episodes. I wish I could say we have a special great grand thing for you tonight. But after 100, 200, 300, 400, look, I don't want to sound like that guy, but I guess I am a little bit. It's kind of like you get to a point where you're like, you know, maybe we should just keep doing what works best and what keeps people coming to the show every week. So we'll just kind of do our normal show.
Or we procrastinate too long to plan anything, so fuck it.
Yeah, that too. We got a little old. We're a little slower to move now that we're older. That's just the way it goes sometimes. But I really do truly want to thank, you know, those of you guys that do take the time out to listen to this show. Sometimes I see the tweets and emails and chat comments and stuff from people that say, this has been a part of my Sunday night for 10 years, 15 years, you know, even 5 years, whatever. And I'm always really humbled that, you know, people have kind of made this a part of their Sunday nights as we have. And I just really can't thank you guys enough. And some of you guys maybe have just recently discovered the show in the past few weeks. And I think that's awesome, too, that, you know, people are still discovering this and deciding to try it out for a little while. So just, you know, big thanks all around. I do want to, of course, give a couple other thank yous that are so important. I'm always afraid I'm going to miss people when I do these types of things, but I know there's a few people that this show just would not be here without. I think I have to give a big thank you and props to Jason, or VXJasonXV. Not only does he do that intro that you hear every week without fail or without me like begging and pleading, he just does it because he wants to and all that. But I mean, a lot of the technical stuff, like having a website to handle the traffic that will that large MP3 files generate, like Jason's always taking care of us in that regard. So I cannot undersell the amount of stuff that Jason has done for Orange Lounge Radio, and that the show just like would not be here if it wasn't for him. So thank you so much for Jason. And of course I would have to give big thank yous to Mr. Bobby Blackwolf. He likes to call himself the opening act to Orange Lounge Radio, as he has been for many years. We like to think of it more as like a dual headliner act sort of thing, but big thank you, of course, to Bobby. Just has been, you know, a partner in things like the Voice of Geeks Network and so forth, and just very, very like-minded as to us as to why we're podcasting in the first place and what this whole thing is about. So, you know, I can't really thank him enough. And, of course, my pal Travis, who started Under Sedation Live, which in some ways this show is a spinoff of, in some ways. You know, I can never say enough thanks to Travis for really introducing me to the concept that any idiot can do this. Thank you, Travis, for being that idiot and exposing this to me. And I say that with big hearts and thank yous. And yes, as Tiger Claw points out in chat, Travis is starting a brand new show. Yes, I have heard the rumors. I've heard the discussion on that. I don't really know anything that you guys don't. So I'm excited to hear that Travis is considering coming back to the radio. I mean, he's apparently considering coming back to Dragon Con. So there's a lot I'm very excited about. But I will let Travis talk about that when Travis is ready. It's not really my place to. So there you go. And I should, of course, I think one more person I have to say thank you that we don't thank enough is I have to say thank you to Mittyhead, who does the intro to this show that you've heard for, God, a good 500 episodes now, at least. Like that little opening riff that you've heard has been a part of this show for a long time.
We don't have anybody else to remake it.
Well, I mean, but there's...
We had somebody, and that fell through.
It goes a long way to say that, like, we kind of don't need anybody. The only reason we would do it is because then we sit here and realize... Sometimes you want to repaint the house.
Know.
You want to paint the house
a new
color.
I'd take a new intro from Zircon. I mean, that's fucking awesome.
Well, whoever would be willing to do it, we'll look at that. But rest assured, this Mittyhead intro we've had has worked for 500 episodes, and that's great. And you know, he didn't charge us for it or anything. He just did it because he knew that we were big supporters of music-based games, and that he was a part of those at the time. If you recognize that name, he did some remixes that were in DDR Xbox, and I think he had a song of Beatmania. One of those crossed over to Beatmania 2DX at one point, I think. My memory is getting a little fuzzy at this point, but I think one of his Sana remixes ended up in Beatmania 2DX at one point. So there you go. All right, so as promised last week, Dark Sakura got us a cake. So what kind of... Oh, she's taking a picture, because that's what you do to food these days, is you take pictures of it. So I will try to describe it to you guys, because she's actually got candles.
700 candles.
700, yes, 700 candles on this cake. I kept telling Dark Sakura, it's not our
birthday.
We got
a butt cake.
It is a butt cake.
It's a bunt cake.
Actually, you need to talk about the cake while I take a picture and put it on the OLR Twitter.
And take one before and after the lights are lit. So anyway, there is a place in Sacramento that... I think they're actually all over the place, but it's called Everything Bundt Cakes. And I like them because they are a good company. They support many good charities and are fairly... they don't care who you like to shtup when it comes to making a cake. I'll put it that way.
Oh, yes. I forgot we have cake politics in this country. But yes. I mean, it's important. So
light the candle so we can take pictures of that, too.
Okay, I will. Hold on.
So it can be on fire.
Well, I have to post this on Twitter. It's very important. You have to describe the cake.
It is a chocolate bundt cake.
Yes.
And 8 inches.
Yes.
And
it looks like an asshole. Like, that's the other thing. That's the other thing you're neglecting to say. It looks like an asshole.
It's a butt cake.
It is a butt cake.
It's a chocolate circled
butt cake. It's a chocolate butt cake with white frosting on it.
It's got frosting on the inside and then streams of like frosting tentacles coming out.
Frosting tentacles.
From the sphincter of the butt cake. It looks delicious and kind of gross at the same time. But I figured it's an occasion, and occasions are always the best reason to have cake, especially delicious semi-pricey cake. So
I'm lighting candles. There is fire in the OLR studio.
Rob's extending fire from his grasped hands.
Fire is not very effective on those candles.
Oh, Rob.
Okay, can we try not to burn down the house, though? All right. Everybody get your pictures in.
Hold on. I got to go into...
Loki, you talk.
Yeah, your turn.
That 7 almost looks like a 1. It might be confusing to some people.
Okay, who's blowing it out?
We all should.
This is the worst radio, us trying to blow out a candle. Okay, here we go. Make
you
a wish.
You can listen to us all blow.
Make a wish. Here we go. One, two, five.
I blew from over here. I'm sure I was effective in doing something.
I tried to get the mic over there. Yay. So see, as we promised last episode, there is indeed cake.
Yes, there and it's all for us.
All right. We'll try to get those pictures posted on the Twitter shortly. But first, it is a video game podcast, believe it or not, so we should get into some gaming topics. There was a lot of Nintendo news this week. Loki, did you take a minute to watch the Nintendo Direct that happened this week?
Yeah, I did. It was all right. I mean, they talked a lot about, you know, different things coming out. There wasn't really a whole lot of surprising stuff except for, I think, you know, the whole Minecraft thing coming to the 3DS. It's like, hey, by the way, Minecraft's coming to the 3DS, and it's out now. Go check it out. I mean, so that was pretty big.
That little "it's out now" surprise was cute. Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty major. And I mean, at least digitally, they're going to release a physical version not too far away from now. Then they just a lot of announcements of different things in the pipeline. So, for example, they talked about Skyrim and how they have it dated now when it's going to be coming out. And then, of course, they were saying that along with that, they're also announcing that Doom is going to get a port to the Switch as well, and even Wolfenstein 2, the new Colossus, will be coming. So lots of stuff, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what Bob Coffey in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says the big story is Doom on Switch, and Dungeon Buster says Wolf 2 coming to the Switch was surprising. And I would agree. I thought those were kind of the biggest headlines from the whole event for me, is that how Bethesda is really, you know, supporting the Switch in a big way when we haven't had Skyrim go on sale yet. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not expecting Skyrim to perform super well. But maybe I'm underestimating the power of people that only buy Nintendo consoles. You know, maybe, or the fact that, sure enough, they did put in a little homage to Zelda in it. You know,
but
with
did
the
you notice
Amiibo.
The fine print, I might add?
Uh-oh.
So there is fine print here, just in case if you think that you need to purchase certain things. You know the Amiibo stuff that they have for Zelda?
Oh, they're elsewhere in the game, right?
Yes.
They said that in the direct. The they did say that in the direct. They said it was, they would be in dungeons.
Don't necessarily feel that you have to go purchase those Amiibos. You can still unlock the stuff. So I think that's nice that they're doing that instead of locking stuff behind a paywall type thing. I'm curious to see, though, how it's going to run and what it's going to look like. Because I feel that with, like, especially Wolfenstein stuff, I'm wondering what kind of a downgrade we're going to get on those.
Well, some of the folks were looking at Doom and comparing it to PlayStation 4 and saying you don't really notice it. So that's especially considering you can pick it up and go on portable. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So that'd be cool. Lots of 3DS stuff as well. And I mean, even still, we can talk about the Switch as well. So just kind of some of the stuff. Lots of remakes I've been noticing. And, you know, kind of one of the things I was worried about even with the Switch was that, oh, shit, there's going to be a lot of stuff that they're just going to kind of remaster. But even that's kind of going along with even with the 3DS and stuff. So you got, like, Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga being remade. That's coming out October 6th. You know, they're talking a little bit about, you know, they have was a Kirby Battle Royale now is a new thing that's going to be coming to the 3DS.
Yep.
They
so
have
3DS is still going.
A new Orange 2DS XL.
Mm-hmm.
There's, of course, Mario Party. They're doing the top 100 best minigames, and that's coming out on 3DS, which I was like, why isn't that on the Switch? Like, that should be a Switch game, I would think.
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying about the new Metroid game, which I'll, you know, I'll talk about the new Metroid game a little later because you bet your ass I played that this week. And, you know, I'll get into it during our gaming weeks. But I know there's been some people I've seen on Twitter that have said, I'm not buying this on the 3DS because I'm waiting for the Switch version. And I don't know if there's going to be a Switch version, I got to say. Like,
They're gonna at some point gonna get desperate for content, and you're gonna see a lot of ports of stuff. I mean, because we've already seen that for the Wii U.
I don't know. Look, I was as much as anybody else saying Nintendo needs to just bury the 3DS and fully invest in Switch at this point, but Nintendo clearly does not want to do that for whatever their reasons.
Just indecisive.
I mean, well, I don't know if it's just indecisive as much as they're like, well, we still have all these 3DSs that are everywhere, so we can make software that can still sell to all these, you know, millions of people that have them while we still face the hardware challenges with the Switch. And something else to just think about, you know, that may be coming into play is that we do have to remember that Nintendo exists in more countries than just, you know, the U.S. and Canada, you know, and even Japan and even
except Brazil, because that's where the Sega Master System is still alive.
Well, okay, but you say that tongue in cheek, but in reality, maybe there's something about the fact that the 3DS, with as old as that system is much easier to get in other countries that aren't usually the ones to get the first wave of games.
No one's saying that they don't have to develop for the 3DS. I'm just saying, why wouldn't they develop for both systems? I would think that would be a title that would, you know, do well on the Switch. I mean,
it probably would, but I will say this, the Metroid, you know, not to spoil my game movie too bad, but I'm going to, the Metroid game on 3DS has the best 3D on the system, period, that I've seen. So it's weird because I thought at one point Nintendo was moving away from 3D with these 2DSs and the fact that it was barely in Pokemon
and
Sun and Moon.
3D for the Minecraft works pretty well too.
Yeah, but the 3D in this new Metroid game is pretty fucking mind-blowing. Like, it's really good. And what makes it work, it's the right amount of 3D. It's a 2D game, but it does 3D effects when it needs to that work really well. So there is that. So, and if you put that on the Switch, you're not going to have those same 3D effects. Of course you can play this Metroid game in 2D mode and probably still get as much out of it. That's not going to, you know, like if you're like, I don't like 3D or I can't see 3D, I still think you'll get a lot out of the Metroid game. But, I mean, for those that do enjoy the 3D, like, this game does it very well.
The other thing was that for the Switch, of course, they talked a little bit about Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which will be coming out in December. Snipperclips is getting a new release, and they're getting new DLC, so it's kind of like a Game of the Year edition, a remaster, not a remaster, but it's like kind of like, you know, the bundle with a DLC thing that's going to be coming out. So that's something. Project Octopath Traveler, which looks pretty cool. It's like kind of how I think they should do all the 2D RPGs, honestly. I mean,
that was another one of those today surprises with the demo.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get to play the demo yet. I'm hearing really positive things about it. I just haven't gotten around to it myself yet, sadly.
They announced along with the new trailer for Super Mario Odyssey that they have a Super Mario Odyssey Switch bundle that's going to be coming with 2 red Joy-Cons at the end of October. And then they showed off some new worlds for Mario Odyssey, which looks all right. Dragon Quest Builders was something that's going to be coming to the Switch in the spring. So lots of stuff kind of announced. I mean, a lot of it, though, thankfully, was like for this year. But I don't know. I mean, I kind of was hoping for some more new announcements. You know, I was like, okay, I know they're going to end with Mario. And I was kind of like, eh.
Well, you got to be careful with these directs. Don't ever set your expectations too high because you're only going to leave disappointed. I'm sure there were a lot of us that were thinking, oh, this is when they're going to do. I will say this. I was expecting they were going to announce a Bayonetta remaster to go with the rumors we were hearing about last week with the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and all that. That didn't happen. And that was a little disappointing, but then I have to go, Rob, don't set your expectations because they're never going to be met. That's just the way Nintendo works. I think a lot of people, way too many people, were hedging bets on Smash 4 being announced, or Smash. Smash for Switch being announced, and you know, that just now was not the time to do that. Maybe Tokyo Game Show, although Nintendo doesn't participate in Tokyo Game Show, that doesn't mean they won't participate in the news cycle that comes that same week. You know, we'll see. Nintendo announced a system in January, which was not what people usually do. So Nintendo clearly marches to the beat of their own drummer who may or may not have rhythm, and it works for them. So bless their hearts. But you forgot the biggest thing that came out of the Direct, Logie. You forgot the biggest thing that set Twitter ablaze. Mario's titties. That was the thing that everybody is talking about on Twitter, which even I got to admit, even I'm looking at this going, what's the big deal? What is the big deal about Mario's titties?
Well, that's the thing. The big deal is like it wasn't necessarily this that was a big deal. It's like other characters, like I think it was from Fire Emblem or something else that had like some sort of swimsuit costume thing. They had basically censored the nipples out of it, like male nipples in the U.S. for some reason. I don't know why. I really don't care, but it's like why'd you do that? I mean, it's just such a weird thing. Oh my god, people don't like seeing nipples, but Mario, it's like flipping out.
Jamie, did you get a look at Mario's titties?
For 5 seconds, I was like, okay, who cares? Apparently people with no life.
Apparently the entire internet.
Well, fuck them. I'm going to serve some cake.
I was just surprised that Mario shaves his chest. That was the thing that struck me as most like, wow, he manscapes, apparently, is something that he does. So there you go.
It would have been very awkward if it was just like, you know, fucking Ron Jeremy type shit.
Well, there was some tweet floating around where somebody actually Photoshopped the chest hair into it.
Of course there is.
And I was like, you know, that looks a little more realistic, but whatever. All right.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, bucket.
Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Mega Man X400 says, mark my words, Smash 4 is coming. They're waiting to announce their online first. And ActDev says, at this point, we'll probably see Smash 5.
Thank you for reminding me. That was the other thing that was sorely missing from this. Where the fuck is the virtual console? Where the fuck is whatever else we're calling it? Where the fuck is the online? No mention of that whatsoever. So I think, you know, expecting that to come out in 2017, you might as well forget it.
I do think at this point we will hear about it in January of 2018. I think the virtual console is not something we're going to hear about this year. So just
they did announce was
get over it or don't.
I mean, they had other things they announced, you know, regarding that stuff. So they have like, was it the arcade stuff that's sort of like virtual console, but it's not virtual console, it's just arcade versions.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you on that. That shit's a little weird. The arcade archive things, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I love the original Mario Brothers. I think it's like really underrated as a arcade classic because it's something that's really, really fun. Two-player mode. And remember, that game is really old. The original Mario Brothers is a very, very old game. I'm not talking about Super Mario Brothers. I'm talking about Mario Brothers with the pipes and, you know, the animals that come out of the pipes. And that was a lot of fun with two people because that was one of the first games that I really remember from back in the day where you could really screw your friends, like, playing that game, right? You could, you know, they could be running to get a crab and you knock the floor to make the crab awake again and you know, kill your friend. So I remember that. That game is great and I think a really good addition. You know, as much as we've seen that game a lot from Nintendo over the years, because every time they did a Super Mario Brothers Advance or whatever that series, that game was included one way or another. But I think it's a good thing to kind of have on the Switch. However, where things kind of get weird with that was when they start talking about the whole, yeah, like Super Mario Brothers versus, which, okay, for those who don't know, when they had that Pay Choice 10, which was like the Nintendo in the arcade with games already loaded onto it, a lot of times you would have versus Super Mario Brothers or versus Excitebike, I think was one of the other ones. And basically what it was the same game, but it was harder. And I think with versus Super Mario Brothers, I want to say like there's more of it's more like the second quest of Mario Brothers where like the turtles are all the Beetle guys instead. And I feel like there's some things that are removed to make some of the jumps harder. Like there's just very subtle changes in the game. Maybe less time on levels too, I think might have been a thing. Somebody in chat might know the difference better.
It's like,
yeah, it is pretty minor, all things considered. So it is weird that is coming when we still don't know about the virtual console plans for just regular Super Mario Brothers. But then there was a lot of other games in that montage. They talked about versus pinball, so, versus Clue Clue Land. I'm sorry, but that's really offloading the dump truck with some of those.
To me, is that them trying to double dip on that shit? So it's basically, okay, we're going to release this shit now. It's not exactly the NES stuff, but you may just buy because you're tired of waiting. And then they announce this new paid service, and then you're like, okay, well, we'll do that too. And they get you twice.
Yes and no. The double dipping thing wouldn't surprise me at all. But if it's true that you're going to be paying for this Nintendo Online and with it you will get certain games like free or whatever, I would imagine that Super Mario Brothers is going to be one of those games. And so you're not going to have to double dip, so to speak. Because one of them you'll pay for with this Arcade Archives. The other one will be included
with your soul.
With your soul. With Nintendo's Online thing. So that's my thought. But I don't know. Yeah. I'll probably buy Mario Brothers. It depends on the price. If they want way too much money for it, then I won't. But I'll probably buy the Mario Brothers and the Versus Super Mario Brothers. But I don't. Okay, stuff like Versus Clue Land, I'm sorry, that shit's a stretch. Like, I don't think that.
Was it Versus Pinball was one of them?
Nintendo Pinball was. There was better pinball on the NES than Nintendo Pinball. Nintendo Pinball was an early title, but it was before like Pinbot and Rollerball and what were the other big pinball games on Nintendo? There's another one I'm trying to think of. Well, Pinball Quest, although
they need to.
That game wasn't actually good. It was just a good idea.
They just need to seriously at this point just mark that shit. I mean, they've made their money back. A ton, like many dozens, hundreds of times over already. Just drop that shit down to where it's like impulsive bundling buy. That's, you know, just like, oh shit, you know, that's like 99 cents. You'd sell like a ton of that shit, even stuff that's like garbage. Like NES Pinball. No one's paying $5 for that shit.
I bought Balloon Fight for 30 cents on Wii U.
Exactly. That's a price that would be worth it.
That's a price that, like,
I would buy it, and, you know, it may not be something I'm interested in, but I buy it because, hey, 30 cents.
I still have Animal Crossing for GameCube.
Exactly. That is the fucking Nintendo I liked, where it's like, hey, enjoy our classic games. Hey, guess what? You purchase that game, the Game Boy Advance version of this Metroid game, you can link it up or, you know, maybe it was in Game Advance. Some version of, you know, Metroid or something. You can hook up your 3D, or no, 3DS, Game Boy Advance, and you can play the original Metroid on or something. That is how you do it, because you've made your money back on those. Stop trying to pretend they're still worth $5. They're fucking old. I get it. People still like them, but you cannot say that this game is still worth $5 again. Like, after I've bought it dozens of times.
All right, one other thing I want to say about the Nintendo Direct that I think will be worth $60, Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I just want to make sure I get that out there. I really enjoyed what I saw from that game, and I look forward to playing it on the Switch. So
that is true, but their presentation was fucking boring. That was the most boring fucking presentation I have seen.
I got what I needed out of it. I was fine. I don't always need somebody that's like super hyped up.
No. It's just like the explaining, like, the gameplay explaining it.
How would you have explained it, Loki?
Show me a fucking trailer done. Not just sit there and explain
it. Here's some fucking fire, and there's robots, and bang, and
just show an extended trailer, instead of fucking explaining about, on this system, you do this, and this system, this happens, and you have these classes, and blah, blah, blah. Like, it was fucking boring.
All right. So overall, how'd you feel about the Direct overall?
I don't know. I don't have a 3DS or a Switch.
You don't have a 3DS? I thought you had a 3DS.
I don't care because I have cake.
I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it, and there was enough like, oh, really? Okay, type of moments in it with the Bethesda stuff and the Minecraft today, and there was enough little pleasant surprises in it. But I just would have thought, I mean, maybe they're going to do another one next month before the holiday, but I guess what would be the point? There's nothing really left to explain. They've detailed all their holiday releases. I would have liked little treats
more
here and
Mario
there.
Mario Odyssey amiibo announcements, which they did, by the way, announce more amiibos for that shit.
Yeah, big surprise. I think they're going to wait till January to just talk about next year at this point. I think that's probably it. So, all right. Anyway, Okay, that's pretty much all we're going to say about Nintendo Direct. So let's move on to our gaming weeks, the types of video games we have been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week? What have you been playing this week?
I downloaded Ragnarok Online for Steam. I started playing Ragnarok Online again.
Did it go free to play? Wow.
Did you get banned?
Talk about blast from the past. Is anyone moderating the game?
I'm sure there's mods. They changed like the whole like introductory level, so it kind of is crappy. I might go back and find another free server that does like the old style RO. I don't know. But that whole thing started because, thanks to Tiara, I downloaded this thing game called Idle Pouring on my iPhone, which is basically you're just running the whole time, killing things. Then you level while it's idle. And then you can do, like, the daily quests and PvP.
Well, it's a fucking clicker game?
Yeah, it's the first one that finally drew me in.
Good job.
But it's fun.
Rama in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, wasn't Ragnarok Online free to play for years on Steam? News to me. I don't know.
I didn't even care to look before this.
I haven't exactly followed Ragnarok Online.
I played RO2 on Steam before I played it on this. I still have that picture of both of our characters. And you with your little mage with the ribbon in his hair.
Yes.
That was great.
MXC wants to know the name of this again. The clicker game.
Idle Pouring. P-O-R-I-N-G.
Idle Pouring. I-D-L-E?
Yeah.
Not like American Idol, but Idle. Okay.
Idle Pouring. It's pretty fun. I've been enjoying
it. American Idol.
Can we not?
Who cares?
It is, and can we not?
Okay.
I also got Hive Swap, which is the Homestuck game that we've been fucking waiting for.
That's pretty good.
It was really good. It was pretty short, but it's just the first episode. And it's all point-and-click goodness with cutscenes. And it has everything a point-and-click game fan would want, plus Homestuck. And I spent, like, the whole first part analyzing every scene. You can look at the pictures in everyone's houses / their hives, because trolls live in hives. And you can, there's certain places that indicate where this fits in continuity. And although I did then go back and like completely reread almost the entire Homestuck wiki just to make sure that I had my head straight as to what universe this was, because there are many universes. So it was really good. I'm going to play it again.
All right.
And, of course, Pokemon Go, Miitomo, the usual. Blah.
All right, then, Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole ton of stuff. I just played, I finished the Lego Movie video game on PC because, I don't know, I like that movie. The game's all right. And then now I'm just kind of doing the 100% stuff. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's a mindless game. And then I just mobile clicker stuff. I'm kind of getting out of it, but you know, I did play that this week. And, you know, it's still the Office Space one. I don't know. That's it. I didn't really play any console stuff. Thought about it. Just haven't gotten around to it. I need to play VR because I purchased a while back. Super Hot VR, and I do want to try that. So.
Oh, I saw that game. I didn't really play it myself, but I saw it at Dragon Con because Bobby brought it, and one of his buddies was playing it. It looked neat. I like the whole concept of things only move when you're actually moving.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of neat. Yeah, it's very like this is what it would be like to be in the Matrix.
Yeah, what's great about those, after you do play that, because you can play it very slowly, you can play it back at full speed when you're done, like an instant replay.
Oh, wow.
So it's like fucking John Woo shit. You're like tossing the guns up in the air, like punching people.
Okay, that's rad. I like that.
Yeah. And what's great, though, is like I've seen like some playthroughs online, and there's, you know, different scenes that kind of teleports you to different areas. So if you've played it enough and you know where those are, you can throw your guns to yourself in the next area, which is great. So, you know, you'll throw like an Uzi into the air, and like you hop to the next scene, you just like catch it and then just shoot the guy in the face. It's just awesome, like all the different options there. So yeah, I'm gonna probably have to check that out. My kids, once again, I'm getting them in the Lego stuff. They like watching Ninjago on TV, which I thought, you know, when I first saw that stuff, it looked stupid. But the Ninjago movie's coming out, and with that, they have a game, so maybe I'll pick that up. No, they have the Lego Marvel 2, then I'll be picking up later. But I don't know. That's it. It's been Lego obsessive in my household lately, mainly with just me. So, yeah.
All right. My gaming week. After last week's show, I played some Mighty No. 9 live on stream. And so you kind of, I got out a lot of my thoughts during the stream, but I liked it more than I thought I would. I will say this. I think in the Mega Man Wars or whatever you want to call it on Steam right now, I think I preferred 20XDX overall, but I did really like Mighty No. 9 enough. Like, it was hard. Like, the first time I played through, I was getting killed a lot, and I was getting really frustrated because I had to go, like, all the way back and all this stuff. But then, you know, when I really was thinking about it, I was like, this was part of what the original Mega Man games were all about, is you do have to memorize patterns. And then even the people that were watching were noticing, like, the second time I went through this level, I did way better, and I beat it because I was this time I knew exactly what to expect, and it was completely different that time. So, yeah, I would say the one thing, it kind of, I don't know, the game lacks a certain polish, I think, in a way. But it was fine enough. I think, I can understand where fans get a little frustrated because the internet in general kind of shits on that game a little more than it deserves. I suppose the whole Kickstarter element puts it in a unique category, but it's well enough. And that game, you can catch it on sale here and there and everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap.
Yeah, so, you know, if you find it at a price that you're willing to pay for it, then go for it. You can do it. Other games that I played this week. I played... with my new 3DS. I finally was convinced to buy a new 3DS. And you know what convinced me to finally buy a new 3DS? All they had to do was to put Samus on it. That's exactly what they did. And as soon as they put Samus on it, I bought it. And so I bought that new 3DS with Samus. So I had to do a transfer. And I learned some things doing a transfer. So I had the Link Between Worlds DS before. Okay. So I had a 32 gig SD memory card in that thing, but unfortunately it's not as easy as putting your 32 gig SD card into your new 3DS. Why? Because the new 3DS takes micro SD cards. So I had to buy a 32 gig micro SD card. Well, that part's, those are like $10 now. You can get those dirt cheap. I got one on Amazon Now because I was like, I don't want to leave the house this Friday. Amazon Now fucking delivered one here in 2 hours. Like that, that's the pinnacle of laziness.
Yeah, I do.
I was like, I'm not putting pants on. God damn it.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So there was that. So finally that gets delivered. I'm like, okay, well, I'll do this transfer. Now, yes, before I get the emails and the chat comments, I'm aware you can do a PC transfer. You can do a PC-based transfer. And in retrospect, that is exactly what I should have done. I should have also ordered an SD card reader via USB because my computer doesn't have one anymore. My old computer had one. My new one doesn't. I should have ordered one of those damn card readers and did it that way. Because I did it DS to DS, the transfer, I started it at 7 p.m. Do you know when the transfer finished finally? 4 a.m. is when the transfer finished. Now, in retrospect, I would have purged. Well, for one, I know that 32 gig card was not full. Like, it's probably not even a quarter full. Do I have a lot of shit on my 3DS? Yes, but you can fit a lot in 32 gigs of DS software. In retrospect, I would have deleted every single demo off of my old 3DS before I started the transfer. Now, see, since space was never a concern, I never really deleted the demos. They were just kind of sitting there, but I should have got rid of them. The DS thing warned me that it would take 4 hours to do the transfer. It took 9. Okay, so it finally finished at 4 a.m. So I was a little frustrated by that, but finally, whatever, it was done, over. And then finally, I got to sit down and play Metroid Samus Returns on my new Samus 3DS, and it's great. I'm so happy, Nintendo. Just in time for Loki's birthday and to celebrate episode 700 of our program, decided to release a new Metroid game the way Metroid ought to be. 2D, but with 3D flair in it. And as I mentioned earlier, the 3D in this game works very well. It's not a 3D Metroid. It's a 2D Metroid. But the 3D elements work very well. I realized they outsourced the development of this game to a company in Spain, and I don't remember the name of it right now. Do you remember the name who developed it? Somebody in chat will yell it out here in a minute. But they did a good job. My understanding is that they had some Castlevania titles previously that were kind of eh.
Which but goes they did- to show you, like, seriously, I mean, we saw this with Retro Studios even, you know, before. I don't know if they were... I would assume that they were independent from Nintendo before they kind of brought on as a second party. But other companies can develop your properties for you and do a great job on it.
Thank you, ActEft. Mercury Steam, that's the name of
it. Like, can we get the people that did Blaster Master Zero to do a new Metroid game? Hello? That would be fucking awesome.
I would trust those guys. Yeah, well, that's who I want. That's at the top of my wish list for a new Guardian Legend game, actually, would be those guys. Inti Creates, or I think this is the name of them. They're at the top of my list for a Guardian Legend reimagining right now. They don't need to do Metroid, because Mercury Steam just did a fucking phenomenal job with it. So they get to make all the Metroids now, as far as I'm concerned. And I think with the critical reception this game is getting, I think it's very likely these guys are going to get to make more games. And maybe those that were hoping this would be on the Switch, maybe you'll get your wish of a Metroid game by these guys on the Switch. If you didn't know, this game, Metroid Samus Returns, it's a reimagining of Metroid Part 2, or what do they call it? Metroid 2 Return of Samus was the Game Boy name. It takes some of the plot elements, like the fact that there are 40 Metroids on the planet you have to kill. As you kill more Metroids, more parts of the planet become accessible. But they've kind of done their own thing with it, because, for one, that tiny little Game Boy screen is now a widescreen, and so that means, you know, right off the bat, more stuff is viewable, so that kind of changes a lot of things right there. And they've done things like you can aim the gun up and down, kind of like in Super Metroid, right? You could aim the gun up and down.
Yeah.
But it's free, because it's the circle pad. As you hold L, it's free range. But it actually works really well, because when you're about to connect with an enemy, the yellow beam turns red. So you know when you're lined up correctly. And then they have this whole melee thing where when a enemy is about to attack you, you can hit the X button and you do like a falcon punch type of thing, and you kind of knock
the
enemy.
Like a counter.
Yeah, you do like a counter and knocks the enemy on its ass, and then your gun immediately targets it. You don't have to sit there and retarget it. Your gun immediately targets it, so you can start blasting it, which is pretty, it's a pretty cool effect when it's done. I'm not sure how I feel about it. It is very, it does kind of disrupt the usual Metroid flow that I know, but I'm getting used to it. It's growing on me the more I play the game. It was just a little weird to like use it in some of those early Metroid encounters. But honestly, that's a very small kind of hesitation in what otherwise I think is a pretty fantastic Metroid game. Like, anybody that was worried after Other M and all this stuff, like, you don't need to worry. This is a worthy successor to Metroid Zero Mission, which would have really been, I guess, the last 2D Metroid game, if you don't count Other M, because Other M was kind of 3D, kind of not. So if you just kind of throw that one away, this is really the next 2D game that they've had. And it's great. I recommend it. If you're a Metroid fan and you have a 3DS, you need to check it out. There you go. Some comments in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Rama in chat says, Metroid is so fucking good. Kaijudo says, the new 3DS is flawless. I will point out, look, I was not convinced to upgrade to a new 3DS for the longest time. But I do, now that I've done it, I do like that head tracking for the 3D an awful lot. Like, it really does work very well, and being able to kind of keep the 3D. Whereas, like, if you have an old 3DS and you kind of look to the side just a little too much, like, the 3D completely breaks up, it doesn't happen on the new 3DS. So that alone is a pretty neat feature. Is it a feature I would have thrown out my perfectly capable old 3DS, paid $200 for a new one for? Not until they put Samus on it. let's see. Tiger Claw in chat says, with Metroid Samus Returns, do you think Nintendo will remake Super Metroid? I think they should. They can make it better. How do you perfect perfection, Tiger Claw? That's my only concern. Like, Metroid 2 was a decent Metroid game, but I think Metroid 2 was kind of always limited by its hardware. The old school Game Boy, in retrospect, was kind of like, it wasn't the greatest hardware in the world, right? It was groundbreaking at the time because it was portable games and it was done well, but it wasn't, the hardware really limited what you could do on that thing, right? So I can see why they kind of went back and redid Metroid 2. Does Super Metroid need a remake?
No.
I think we can explore a new Metroid title and that would be just fine. But they've changed enough with this that it doesn't feel like a rehash of Metroid 2. But then again, I never did get around to playing that AM2R. I would be very curious what people who played...
Oh, God, it was so good, though.
Okay, I would be... Now, see, I would be very curious what your take is on this new Metroid game. The AM2R developers have been very kind to it, and they want to see it do well. You know, which is good that they're, you know, they're not being bitter Bettys about the cease and desist.
I'll
and
have
all
to
that.
Play it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got the game. I just haven't played it yet.
Yeah. Cool. That'll be good. Let's see. Going to some other comments in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Tigerclaw says, you perfect perfection by making it look better, play better, and add a ton of new features, like what they did in Samus Returns. Again, I just don't know if it needs it. I guess if they want to put a fresh coat of paint on it, like if they want to give it the StarCraft HD thing to it where they redo the graphics but they don't fucking touch the game, then I might be on board for it. But again, I don't know. I would have some hesitation. I would like to see Mercury Steam just be able to do their own Metroid game now, like whatever they want to do with it. They've proven themselves with this game. Let them do whatever they want to do. You know, obviously Nintendo can still oversee it and thumbs up or thumbs down, whatever they want. But that's what I would do in that case. Anyway, I've talked enough about that game, but obviously as a longtime Metroid fan, I've been very excited about that game's release. So we're going to get into some gaming news, but first some quick announcements. Again, thanks you guys for tuning in for 700 episodes, whether this is your first episode or your 700th. Thanks for being a part of our family here Sunday nights at the Voice of Geeks Network. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. No shows off that I'm aware of in the foreseeable future, although I'm looking to maybe do a trip with the long weekend coming up for Veterans Day, but something like it's going to be something like LA or something. It's not going to be something I have to get on a plane for. I might go to LA that weekend because I have some friends in LA I haven't seen in a while. That's kind of what I'm kind of leaning towards right now, is maybe that's what I'll do Veterans Day weekend. So I may not be back in time for the show that Sunday, but that's not till November. So in the meantime, though, we'll see you every Sunday night. Let's get into some gaming news. Loki.
So this is kind of funny. Recently, it had been discovered that there was a NES emulator inside the Switch firmware, which they were calling Flog. And you know, along with that, though, they found that there's also a ROM in there as well. So Golf for the NES is in there, and which is kind of weird, though, because you know they're saying that they're not sure if it's an accident that it's in there. Probably not, but they found that you know the emulator, or I guess the emulated version, works on this Flog emulator, and it even has like Joy-Con controller icons, so it's you know compatible with this emulator and apparently works. There's not really a way to launch the game though via like a system menu, but it might be something that's in development.
Has anybody tried putting up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start into their Switch to see if this game pops up?
No.
Are there Nintendo codes out there? Maybe that's the trick. Maybe there's a button code you have to push and you get this. Or maybe it's just in there waiting to be unlocked at some point when they unleash other virtual console type games. But I think the most exciting thing about this is the fact that they have gone back and they've changed the ROM, essentially, in a way, to account for motion controls.
Well, here's the other thing, too, if you think about it. As it's pointed out, Flog, the name of the emulator, is Golf backwards.
No shit, Sherlock.
So it's just kind of weird, though, that I don't know. I don't know what this is.
Golf is also one of those games where it's in the same bucket as like Clue Land and Pinball and some of those things you were talking about earlier.
I like Clue Land.
No, but here's the thing. It's one of those games where it's like if Loki gets upset about paying $5 for Super Mario Brothers, he really is going to get upset if Nintendo tries to charge $5 for Golf, which I think they actually did on the Wii U, but I digress. Golf is kind of like if Nintendo's going to give one away, Golf's a safe one to give away.
Well, this is kind of weird, too. Like, here's some of the they're talking about the controls. So they're saying that, you know, the controls are the D-pad buttons and the stick. However, motion control while holding the ZLR button is also supported instead of using the buttons. So they're having motion control being added to NES games.
But see, you know what's exciting about that for me? Like, as hokey as that might be, although don't underestimate the power of that shit. I mean, whereas a lot of us, like, for lack of a better term, hardcore gamers.
It's the power glove again.
Okay, look, as much as some of us might roll our eyes at it, I think there are some people that are going to think that's really cool, that you can go back to the old school games and you can control them in a whole new way. So don't underestimate little shit like that. But what is exciting about that for me, Loki, is that they have gone back and they have edited old games to do new things. That's the very exciting part, Loki.
Edited an emulator to do new things.
So is it possible, big question mark, is it possible that the next wave of virtual console will not only have the online support, but maybe things like achievements, leaderboards, things that they've gone back and they've updated these old ROMs to be able to do? Flog kind of shows that Nintendo is going that direction of more than just a fucking straight up emulation of an old fucking game. Does that make sense?
Yeah. We'll see.
Let's see. Yes. JD in chat says, what was this about not getting your hopes up, Rob, when it comes to Nintendo? You're right. I got to keep that shit in check. But still, this is it is a fact that this has been found and that there is more to it than just a straight-up emulation. So I don't think I'm getting my hopes too far up in making that connection that, well, if they're doing it for Flog, then maybe they're going to do it for some other stuff too. Which, by the way, I should point out also, JD in chat says, flogging. Look, Folsom Street Fair, if I remember right, is next weekend. But I hope you all have a good one for those that are checking that out. let's see.
Although today was the leather walk.
There's events every weekend for something. I need a better calendar.
I attended the election of Mr. Bolt Leather for the year.
Oh, here
locally.
It
was a very nice event.
Yes. Good. Did you get to vote?
I played pinball.
Was the audience voted? Or
no, they had judges. Oh, I see. But I played pinball.
All right, well, fun. All right. Anyway, Rama in chat says, you know there's a Folsom Street Fair East. No, I didn't. Where do they even do that? Is that a P-Town thing? Where do they do that? Anyway. All right. it's in New York. Thank you. Clearly, my calendar is not up to date. My invite got lost in the mail, I suppose. All right. Let's move on from flogging to Final Fantasy. And someday, maybe those worlds will collide. But for now, the world...
Soon enough, thanks to Final Fantasy 15 modding support.
Ooh, Gladio Leather Daddy. Ooh. Oh, honey.
Please, this is Square Enix. Please be respectful of the characters. Don't do anything. Don't make the naughty mods. No naughty mods. We trust you. Oh, God, why do we trust you?
Meanwhile, have you seen the hairdresser?
I can't fucking wait for mods to be unleashed on Final Fantasy 15. It's like, Dark Sakura, look, years and years and years of having it always be the women being objectified in these games and in the modding communities and the titties hanging out and all this stuff. Years and years of that is finally going to be rectified and caught up with Final Fantasy 15.
Here I am playing Final
Dongs. Everywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, here I am playing Final Fantasy 15. I'm fighting a giant dick with a dick in my hand, and I'm shaped like a dick.
It comes from 11 with the man harness. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, the armor. And
yeah.
Yes, Final Fantasy 11 and 14 were some of the first games to be like slut. Like, the men were just as slutty as the women.
And what's
it's
his
awesome.
Face who I hate?
I don't
remember the Final
you
Fantasy.
You hate everybody.
No, who had the, like, the logo?
Bobby Blackwolf?
No, in Final Fantasy 14.
I was going to say, what was it, the 11?
Like, oh,
Hildebrand.
Yeah, no. Fucking annoying.
Remember,
Hildebrand.
Like, the 11 Subligar armor that they
that's
had?
That's it, Subligar. That's it. That's what
she's
talking,
I was talking about.
Subligar, yeah. That's what I was trying to think of the name. Let's see. Rama in chat says, Rob Roberts starring in Leather Dream Daddy. Did you see my cosplay for Dragon Con? Did you catch that? I got recognized by two people. JD in chat says, Final Fantasy 15, Conan Exiles version. Anything's possible. Anyway, all that talk aside, here's the thing. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild has clearly had an influence upon the Final Fantasy team. In a quote from director Hajime Tabata, the director of Final Fantasy XV, he's talking about Zelda, saying, quote, "I've heard a lot from the dev team and their reactions to having played Zelda, but just from hearing the stories and the feedback, you know, we can tell that it's a really complete game. It's very polished, almost a perfect game in that regard. And our goals are probably to take that experience that players felt with Breath of the Wild, but with our own technology and our own know-how. We have in our disposal to create a very, very high-quality game with a strong visual element to it while creating a world that's really immersive and really beautiful. That's probably our goals in terms of what we want to be with our next project." It was kind of interesting hearing about the influence of, you know, Zelda Breath of the Wild and what it kind of, you know, did for that series. And now we're hearing that other developers are getting influenced by it. But, man, you know, I know it's a little early to talk about Final Fantasy 16, but my assumption is that is something that has to happen eventually, right? We have to talk about Final Fantasy 16 eventually, right? If not now, then maybe the next E3? I mean, maybe Square is still kind of on the hook to, like, actually release the Final Fantasy 7 remake first before we can really talk about 16. But here's my thing is that, and I think I've talked about this a little bit before, but if you want to talk about, like, the open world expansiveness, Final Fantasy 15 kind of did that in parts. You know, right? We all know that one of the chapters can go on forever because you just do side quest after side quest. Like, Final Fantasy kind of had that 15 to an extent. Can you imagine a game in Final Fantasy 15's engine, but all the characters, all the land, all the story, and all the universe is like Final Fantasy 9? But in Final Fantasy 15's engine. Like, how fucking rad would that be? And the reason why I specifically call out 9 is because 9 was kind of that callback to the classic Final Fantasy era, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, 7 and 8 were kind of the more, like, they were modern settings. They were different. 8, not as much, but it was just very different. It didn't look like, you know, the classic Final Fantasy games. But characters like Vivi and stuff in Final Fantasy 9 really kind of gave it that classic Final Fantasy look. So imagine that in Final Fantasy 15's engine, and then it's, like, open and immersive and not, like, necessarily as tunnel visioned as the old Final Fantasy games. Because if you think about it, the original Final Fantasy, like, and a lot of the even later Final Fantasies, they're very fucking tunnel visioned, aren't they? Like, you know, you need the canoe to get to the river, and then you need the airship to cross the mountains. Like, it's great. It's still a great game, but it was kind of, you know, tunnel vision. So I think it would be just awesome to see something like that in, like, a very open world, you know, quest type setting like Final Fantasy 15. Maybe that's part of the reason I like 14 so much, because even though it's online, it does feel a lot of that. It's a really good start in that direction anyway. Something you wanted to say with that, Loki?
I'd rather just remade 6.
I guess. But remakes have to, you know, go on the back burner at some point. They're already remaking 7, whether we like it or not. I don't know. Is Dark Sakura, before we get to your story, with the Final Fantasy 7 remake, are you apprehensive about it, or are you looking forward to killing Aerith in HD over and over and over again?
That bitch is dead. I'm gonna Omni slash her.
What would you do if in the remake they changed it so that you could bring her back to life?
That bitch ain't getting my, you know, resurrection.
Like, nope.
Phoenix nope. Down, not for you. Phoenix up. No, I know it's referring to the down on the feathers, but still.
I know. No, it's the Phoenix Up is still funny. That's a good name for a band and rock band. Phoenix Up. All right.
You don't get Phoenix Down. You get Reaper Down.
Or as Bobby Blackwolf in our chat says, Phoenix Up yours, Aerith.
Yeah. I just don't like her.
You don't say. After 700 episodes of this show, I haven't fucking figured that out.
She's a man-stealing hobag.
Dungeon Buster in chat says, forget Aerith. I want a Phantasy Star Classic revival with the return of Ney. Actually, how about, since we didn't
Ney was pretty cool.
Since we didn't get into this with the Nintendo Direct, now that you've opened that Pandora's box, Dungeon Buster, here's the thing. Where the fuck is Phantasy Star Online 2 in the US? Did you know that during Japan's Nintendo Direct this week, they got the announcement that Phantasy Star Online 2 Cloud or whatever is coming to the Switch? So they get Phantasy Star Online on their TV and on the go. You know what we've got with Phantasy Star Online? Jack shit. What is Sega's fucking problem with this game and not wanting to release it in the U.S.? What's your damage, Sega? What did we do to you?
Didn't
release
Sonic enough.
PSO2 on the in the U.S.
I should re-download that and repatch it. It was fun.
And before y'all get started on, yes, there's a patch. Look, it would be nice to get some fucking official recognition from Sega that there are PSO fans that want to play this game here. Yes, I understand the Switch is region-free, but that doesn't mean the servers are going to be region-free. So don't get me started. Is having Sega give us a hug too much to ask? Apparently it is. Anyway. I'm sorry. I got disrupted by a chat comment there that got me wound up on a Loki rant. How about you, Dark Soccer? Do you have something positive to share with us in the news tonight?
I'm positively bleh. So we had talked about this a couple of times in the past, but this is actually coming from a CBN coverage, which is pretty... CBS. CBS coverage. I was thinking news and then the end came out. But they were having some coverage about more colleges now are rolling out scholarships for varsity video game players. Several schools now, it looks like, have their own esports team. And I think it was, I'm trying to find it in here because it listed what school it was. One of the UCs, like, just built an esports arena. UC Irvine did it. And that now more and more schools are opening up their own, esports teams, like multiple teams per school. And that actually it has, almost now, surpassed, sports, like physical sports activity in schools. And they're offering more and more scholarships to that. So, and people are like, yeah, it rebuilds a sense of community, and it's especially good for people who maybe can't get into the physicality of, you know, like football or baseball or something like that. So I think it's pretty neat. All of those people who made fun of us for being nerds, now people are going to college for being nerds.
You kids today, you don't know how easy you have it. You get a full scholarship for college because you're good at a video game. Back in my day, that got you canned.
I would have killed for that.
What video game would you have gone to college on a scholarship for, Dark Sakura? What video game would have gotten you a full scholarship?
That I was really good at?
Uh-huh.
Guardian Legend at the time. No, I'm serious. I was really good at it.
I know. It makes me laugh, though, just imagining the Guardian Legend as an esport. But it deserves it.
Well, I mean, the era that I was going into college, though, it was Super Nintendo era when I was first going into school. So I think that at that point, it would have been like Kirby's Avalanche. I was really good at Puyo Puyo. Really good at Puyo Puyo. Not as good as I was.
Loki, what about you? You would have gone to college a full scholarship on what game?
Well, if we're talking college, it probably would have been Mario Kart 64, maybe.
Damn you, because you stole my answer. Well, you sort of stole my answer. My answer was going to be Super Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo, because in the college dorms, the PlayStation and the N64 had like just come out, but college kids couldn't really afford it, so I still had the last gen of games. And so, like, the guys used to come over, and we would play Super Mario Kart, and it got brutal, like, you know, with that game. But I always fucking won. I'm not as good now as I used to be. I'm sure my recent streams are evidence of that with the newfangled Mario games, but there's always that. So, all right. But Mario Kart 64 for you, Loki?
I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat was in a similar place. I got an N64 pretty early, and my dorm was the Mario Kart 64 dorm. People came into my room just to play four-player battle mode. Yep, I actually, it wasn't me that got the Nintendo 64 first. It was the guys right upstairs.
If we're talking, like, it's not technically a video game, but the best game, or the game that I was the best at that time would have been Quasar Laser Tag.
Fucking
own that shit.
Oh, that would have been your scholarship right there with Quasar. Oh, yeah. That would have been awesome. Anyway, and I don't know if you're... I don't know if your college was anything like mine, Bobby, but those guys upstairs that used to play Mario Kart, they used to get so fucking high before they would play Mario Kart. Like, it was, that room was just like a giant fucking cloud, and then Mario Kart 64. And I, something about the colors, I'm sure.
Now, when I was actually in college, though.
Yeah.
Totally World Cup Soccer 94 pinball.
You know, I was
which
thinking,
is why I own one now.
The other game that we played in the dorms all the time was, since we all had our own phone lines. I know I've told this story on OLR. Since we all had our own phone lines in those little rooms, we used to, and it was still dial-up back then. We didn't have, the high speed hadn't hit the dorms yet. So we were still doing dial-up. So we would dial into the college internet, and we would play Duke Nukem 3D over the phones. But it was, we would leave
that was my first LAN game.
Yeah, on Friday nights, we would leave our doors open and scream at each other while we're playing Duke Nukem 3D over the phone, basically. It was good times.
Did you ever do, like, the voice macros?
Where you could hit it and go, I came here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum.
My face was your face, oh, yeah. Your yes. ass. What's the difference?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember all that stuff. Good times. All right. Anyhow, so let's move on. Loki, what do you have for us? Maybe one, another game that kids can go to college
yes,
on.
It's the new game. Well, it's not so much the game of the week anymore, but it's a popular game, or one of the popular games. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is now the most played game on Steam of all time. That's right. It's hit the record of 1.349 million players. That's its peak. Previous record, which, of course, had been Dota 2.
I was going to say, it has to be Dota 2.
That was March of last year. They were 1.291, so... not bad. And, of course, also crossed the 15 million concurrent Steam users, or Steam had just crossed that. The other thing, of course, you know, they're doing with it, they're tweaking, because it is kind of becoming a problem in the game with people idle farming. So, like in Counter-Strike Go, you can get different items in the game, loot boxes or whatever, and you can sell those items on the Steam Marketplace to make money.
Oh, shit.
And so people were just going idle in the game because they would still earn the currency in the game to, you know, be able to buy
those. Oh, no,
you
should get kicked out if you're inactive. After.
So now they've got more things in place to basically check to see if they're just, you know, sitting there. It's going to be harder for people to do that. So that is something that they're working on as well.
Stoppy in chat says, it's crazy. The guy who made the game is the black sheep of his family. Now he's set for life and taking care of his parents. Amazing success story. No, good. I mean, good for him. You know, it's hard to hate on somebody who's made a successful game, even if I don't really play it. But here's my question, actually. And those of you that are familiar with this game, I would think this answer's pretty easy, but maybe it's not. Are you able to just set up a game where it's nobody, it's nothing but people you know? Like, you can set up a friends
that,
only
like
game.
It's like 100 people are playing.
Yeah, but can I play like a lower
I think
version?
You can do.
Can I play like an 8-player version where it's just people we know?
I think right now, because I am on a laptop and I don't really have like the keyboard mouse setup. Like, I can't do mousey keyboard basically because I'm just not used to that. I'm used to playing on a controller. That I probably have to wait for a console version, you know, to be able to play that. And
well, Xbox has got you covered before the year's up.
Right.
Yeah.
But they've, you know, it's interesting. Like, I was watching, there was an article kind of looking at some of the stuff today about people that are speed hacking in the game. And so running around really fast because they're saying, you know, right now their anti-cheating system is not perfect. But they're showing, like, one of the guys is, like, you know, he's a big CSGO player. Mm-hmm. And the guy's, like, speed hacking, just running past him. He just takes him out. This is like, it's like, fuck this shit. Just knocks him out. He's like, I'm too good for this shit. Like that. So that was kind of fun.
See, MXC in chat says you can set up your own team, but I think that is still online against the massive players. That's not really good enough for me. I would like to have a mode that's kind of more, like, private so that I could just play with other people like me. And my skill set and other, like, VOG people and Twitter people and stuff, like, have our own
little
island.
But I think
a lot
of people aren't that great on it. I mean, I don't think it's a lot of – there are some people that are good at it, but there's a lot of factors that's kind of random, too, because it depends on where you drop, where the center of, you know, everything, the arena is going to be. Plus, they have new maps now, so there's a lot of random factors in there that may affect it. tips. All right. So.
I think I need to check this game out. I think I'm going to... How much is it? It's not a full 50.
It's like 40 bucks,
yeah,
I think.
Okay. I think I need to check this game out. I do. Like, I just... Because I don't hate it. I just... I'm apprehensive because first-person shooter. But that's...
Right,
that's
really, yeah. It's like... It's hard, like... coming into something like that, yeah. And even like Overwatch for me, it's kind of hard to like, it's like, yeah, you have to really be like doing this constantly to be any good at it, but I don't know, I'm not, I guess I'm a filthy casual now.
Let's see, going to our chat, Bobby Blackwell says you're gonna find PUBG modes. I keep wanting to say PUGB modes even though I'm getting the letters reversed, but you're gonna find PUGB modes in all the AAA games now. Fortnite has a PUGB mode already.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sure
GTA,
oh,
yeah. Online already has something.
It'll,
yeah,
just be like a Horde mode in Gears of War, like every game. The Mass Effect got something like that.
You know,
Splatoon has,
you know,
that.
what you would probably like, actually, that's kind of similar. I mean, this is, you know, it's basically Hunger Games, sort of.
Okay.
The Hunger Game mods in, like, Minecraft.
Oh, yeah.
Low. You don't have to be, like, a super expert player. I mean, you're just running around literally
hacking people with pickaxes.
Hacking people with pickaxes. I mean, there's not a whole lot of skill there. But that looks a lot of fun every time I've seen people play that. So that might be something.
I do play Overwatch, so it's not like I'm completely apprehensive to first-person games. But the thing I'm really learning about Overwatch, as much as I like to play characters like Sombra and Pharah, like, honestly, I just have the best luck when I play Mercy. Like, I don't want to say I'm good at Mercy, but I play Mercy well enough where I really feel like I'm pulling my weight as opposed to certain other characters. So
what we really need is, you know, we need an actual, what is it? What's the fuck? The movie that started it all, not Hunger Games, but,
Battle Royale.
Battle Royale. We need an actual Battle Royale game.
We said that years ago.
Fuck the imitators. We need the actual Battle Royale game.
Didn't we have a... Dark Tetsuya. Didn't we have a list years ago that was what movie do we need to make a game out of? And tell me Battle Royale wasn't in the top three. Had to have been. Maybe it's on the wiki somewhere.
Everybody's trying to be Battle Royale, but... Battle Royale is just Battle Royale.
SSG100 Matt says, good thing Overwatch doesn't have commands like heal, please, protect, please. Oh, no, SSG100 Matt. It does. There are you can hit, I need healing, or I need armor. Look, I fucking know you need healing. I'm playing a healer. Sometimes you're fucking hiding behind a wall. How am I supposed to fly to you if you're hiding behind the fucking wall? And the other thing that pisses me off is when I'm playing Torbjorn, which is another character I'm decent with, I need armor. I will fucking throw you all the fucking armors in the world when I have enough scrap. But if you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at the person that keeps picking it up off the ground when they don't really need it. I'll even try to like not throw the armor in front of that person, but they still run over and get it. So, yeah, unfortunately, totally doesn't work in that game. Okay, sure enough, look at this. Dark Tetsuya says, episode 66... movie that most needs a video game. Okay, this is the scientific listless process here on OLR. The official answers from our listless: number 3, Kill Bill. Good, that was a good choice. That was a very good choice. Number 2, Clerks.
Can't imagine how that would work, but
I don't know what we were thinking at that time. But it's kind of funny.
If it's based off the animated series, that'd be fun.
I think the animated series was still kind of new in our minds at that time. And then number 1, Battle Royale. So sure enough, on episode 66, we said they should make a game out of Battle Royale. So PUGB guy needs to pay up. No, I'm just kidding.
I still won the paper plate Battle Royale.
All right. Let's move on. More stories for you guys here on episode number 700. Let's talk about a new game that's been announced for the Nintendo Switch. Although I think this is actually re-updating or something of a Apple TV game. And, of course, the site I'm trying to pull this story from is now not working, so I'm going to do this best from my memory. But Super Beat Sports is a harmonics game, and they have announced that is going to be coming out on the Nintendo Switch. This game was originally out for the Apple TV, but I don't think a ton of people are gaming on there. I mean, some are, but just obviously the Apple TV is not a gaming device,
yeah,
so I think their audience is limited.
It's kind of cool. They have some pictures of their official site, superbeatsports.com.
Thank you. So you can play these different sports. It's harmonics music games, And now it's going to be on the Switch.
Yeah,
so
they've
all
got
that
like five mini games. So based on familiar sports, it said like tennis, hockey, golf, and volleyball. You play with up to three players, or four players, I guess. Motion controls, they're saying, you know, or non-motion controls, and no, neat. Looks like a little like a Wii Sports type of game.
Yeah, Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I saw a bit of the game on their live stream. It looked neat. Yeah, I know they were live streaming some of it earlier this week, so that's pretty cool. So, all right. All right, well, let's move on with some more news. Dark Sakura, a computer gaming legend, right?
Oh, yes. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Why are you not playing the music?
In my pants.
Not your pants.
I didn't.
Unless Carmen also is now, you know. Anyway. I need the music, Rob. It has to happen. But anyway, Carmen, you know, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego was an animated series in the past, and it was a fun game show.
One, two, three.
And best theme song ever. Anyway, Netflix.
This shit didn't exist when I first played Carmen Sandiego on the Apple IIe.
Nope.
This is what you babies got into in the 90s.
No, Rob. It was what? All about Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego. That was my jam.
That game was pretty awesome.
Because you know me, history nerd.
And look, as much as I love that theme as well, it's all about the chief on the Carmen Sandiego. Rest in peace.
Because she didn't give no shit.
Rest in peace.
Anyway, Netflix has said, okay, you missed it. Great. They've greenlit a new animated series with 20 22-minute episodes that are coming out in 2019. So apparently Gina Rodriguez is going to be Carmen Sandiego. And Finn Wolfhard is going to be her accomplice named Player.
So even though this has to do with a TV show, a cartoon, a Netflix revival, if you will, maybe it will cause a revival of the computer games, because I think people forget that the game show came from computer games.
Or maybe updating the computer games that might have like more modern references to real countries that exist.
Kids today need to never be able to fucking find
her. Czechoslovakia doesn't exist anymore as a country.
Oh, good point. Good point.
Plenty. The USSR doesn't exist as a country.
The world has changed.
The world has changed.
And then Carmen's keeping herself alive through secret rituals involving the blood of every past gumshoe that she's defeated. But
she's now a vampire cannibal.
But it's being produced by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, which is a name I haven't seen since I was like in high school reading my school books. So, yay. Now we have to listen to the theme song the whole rest of the show.
No, because I think there's copyrights that prevent that from happening. Anyway. By the way, before we get to our next story, taking a step back real quick, Bobby Blackwolf decided to jump in and look at the complete Listless archive just because he was bored and thinking about that segment.
Am I really boring him that much?
I think so. But okay. No, this is relevant. This is important. Bobby Blackwolf says, we did a Listless in 2014 that was, what are we most looking forward to at E3 2014? The number two answer. You ready for it? The number two answer that night? Phantasy Star Online 2 on the Wii U. Here we are 3 years later.
Let's go home. We're done.
Sega can suck a fuck. Yes, I'm going to use that phrase because I can't think of anything more appropriate to express the anger I'm feeling at Sega. Sega, suck a fuck. And
besides, I think we're owed some reparations for the fucking Sonic the Hedgehog series. I mean,
but they did kind of redeem themselves with Sonic Mania.
Yeah, Sonic Mania
And Sonic Generations was good.
It's a start. But no, Rob. Are we to forget all the other games that they made?
Rob, they can eat a sack of dicks. Zombie
yes,
dicks.
Can. Yes.
Real zombie dicks.
Yes. Pulsating. All right.
With the occasional, you know, fly attached to it.
She's flying around the world to steal zombie dicks. All the zombie dicks.
Act deft
Carmen
in chat.
Carmen Sandiego.
Act deft in chat says, we need a new listless. How can Sega go and fuck themselves for PSO? moving on. Just a few more stories in the classic game of the week. Loki.
So it was very exciting to see that Journey, I mean, a totally different game, not Journey, but totally Journey, coming to Apple TV, iPad, and iPhones from that game company. It's called Sky, and it's like if you replace sand with clouds in its Journey, but it looks good.
Well, we don't know till we play it.
It's totally related. Totally.
I would be really interested to try it out on my Apple TV, because the only game I've played on my Apple TV to date is Sonic CD with the right soundtrack, Bobby, the Japanese one.
And it's episode 700, so you're going to let her have her moment and not cry tonight.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's creatures that look humanoid, but they're like floating and kind of flying, and they have things that cause them to float up into the air, and there's a big thing in the distance that has a beam of light. It's fucking Journey, but whatever. It looks cool.
I'll invest in it when it comes out.
I can't wait to play it
for
on
Apple
my
TV.
I can't wait to play it on my $1,000 iPhone, because yes, the fuck I am buying
across
that iPhone
the room
X.
High five.
Yes, I am fucking buying that iPhone X, and you can miss me with that Android
10.
Shit. You can
10.
Oh, sorry, iPhone 10. I didn't watch the press conference. I just read all about it. You can miss me with all that Android comparison shit. Okay, my husband has an Android, so I get to see what's going on over there. We're a biphonal household, and that's the way we like it. And get that sweet new screen into my hands.
Oh, girl, I was watching that keynote, and I'm like, yeah, I don't need to pay off my student loan this year.
Thank you. Yes, ActF says buy phones. There it is. Nice. All right. Anyway, SG100 Matt says, but that's so much money. I don't know if that's said tongue in cheek, but
so don't care.
Well, isn't the Note 8 or whatever one of those Android is $950?
Something like that.
So
I already put down and priced what it's going to cost me for the 256 gigabyte model.
No, real talk for a minute. And I don't care if you're iPhone or Android. I really don't. You should. It's your money. Spend it on whatever
but
makes
trust
you happy.
Me, they're going to let you know.
Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Here's my thing, really, at the end of the day. When it comes to my phone, I'm at a point where, you know, and I wouldn't have thought this 15 years ago when OLR first started. I was using my shitty little flip phone that had like the little tiny like maybe 20 pixel big TV. It looked like a Dreamcast VMU on the front that you could use to take selfies.
I can maybe play NES ROMs on this.
Yeah, right? Okay, so here's the thing. So 15 years ago, I would have never thought this about my phone. But the reality is, here we are living this world. I use my phone more than anything else, even my desktop PC. That's how much I use my phone, especially with, you know, you guys know I do gaming with Pokemon Go and Ingress and all that other stuff too. Like, it's not even just that. Like, I use my phone everywhere. So honestly, I know, yes, $1,000 is a lot of money. Of course it's a lot of money, but that's why, no, I haven't upgraded my phone in 3 years. So I've been saving money knowing that I'm probably going to have to spend a lot of money to get a new phone. And it's like, I probably paid more than that for my computer, which in reality I use less. So anyway, don't let anybody tell you how to spend your money. You want to go buy a new Android phone? Go you. That's awesome. You want to go buy an iPhone SE because you don't need any of this new shit? You just want a fucking phone? Awesome. Go you. Get the phone that works for you. But don't tell other people what to do. All right. Moving on. Let's see. What do we have next? This is not good, but I guess a learning experience for everybody in this situation. So Destiny 2, which I really, really want to play Destiny 2, but I'm waiting for the PC version because I want my mouse and keyboard support. So I'm waiting on the PC version. But I'm hearing a lot of good things from the people that are playing it on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One right now. But one of the not so good things I'm hearing about is that, some armor snuck its way into the game that was it was kind of a reference to white supremacy. Whoops. Somebody screwed up on that one. So here's what and a lot of people wanted to know, how the fuck did this happen? Like, how did this get into the game? And basically, it was one of those things where Bungie wrote this explanation about how they do draw from real-world art, iconography, and other design elements. And what happened is that, I guess, the original meme kind of came to their attention. You know how sometimes memes get repurposed by other crowds for bad things? Isn't that what kind of happened to the frog? Anyway.
Yes. The frog is actually, it's a children's book.
Yeah. Okay. So So what happened is that they found, I guess the way I'm reading it from Bungie is they found the meme, but their own internal team did not realize that that had been repurposed into this flag that represented something completely different. So, you know, Bungie apologized and basically promised to do better, and they are working to, I guess they did some recent maintenance where they've really kind of, they haven't been able to scrub it completely from the game, but they've like, they've changed it enough so that you don't really recognize what it was anymore. And soon it will be completely scrubbed from the game. That is what they're doing there. So there you go. Dungeon Buster in chat says, wow, I play Destiny 2 and I never heard about this. Well, my understanding is that ninjas went in the middle of the night during one of the maintenance periods and got rid of this from the game. And that's what happened. So Bungie says, sorry about that, and it won't happen again. But it also goes to show that the internet is a huge place, and you got to be careful sometimes because, you know, you may not know that
It's not overt, like, oh, it's a swastika or something like that.
It wasn't something obvious.
It looks kind of sporty, like it's like a sports thing. I mean, I don't know, like a bike tracksuit type thing. I don't know.
Now that we know what it is, it's not okay. Just to be clear. All right. Anyway, let's go back to a time and a place when games weren't so fucking complicated. It's the classic game of the week, and Dark Soccer is going to step into the gaming vault tonight and pick a game that she says, "Hey, brats, you should be checking out this game this week."
Now we've been telling you for a while.
Now, Darkstalker, you've actually, talk about a while, we started Classic Game of the Week in, what, episode number 250?
Something like that.
So this would be, if I can math correctly, this would be the 450th Classic Game of the Week. Marathon show, some one-offs, things.
And the classic console.
Oh, I forgot about the consoles. Okay, so give or take the 450th Classic something-something of the week. So the rules of the Classic Game of the Week that was established some time ago is that a game must be 10 years older or more to be the Classic Game of the Week.
Yes.
But Dark Sakura, before I unveil tonight's Classic Game of the Week and before somebody in chat says, that game didn't come out till November, so it's not 10 years old.
Well, fuck you. It's my segment, my rules.
So that is the official statement from Dark Sakura. It's my house, and if you don't like it...
And I believe that my intent was that if it came out that year, and it wouldn't be the first time I've done it because I have done something like a month before.
Yeah. All right.
So precedent has been set. So take your opinion, shine it up real nice, turn it sideways, and shove it up your candy ass. To quote Sir Rock.
All right, no, but look, you don't want to taint this game with. You just know that people are going to say something. In chat about
you said taint.
So, what is the classic game of the week?
It's Mass Effect. Duh. Can you believe it's been 10 years though?
I can't actually. That's crazy to me. Oh, but this theme is so fucking good.
I know.
Sad because I just think about the ending sequence. Well, I won't get ahead of myself, but anyway.
I always would let this go until Gareth showed up on the screen, and then I would start. Because
you can't start until your title screen has been blessed by Gareth.
Gareth is space husband number two.
Right, fair enough.
You don't know who space husband number one is. In my fandom, in my head.
Your own husband, Dan?
Dan's not from space. I'm talking about space husband.
Technically, this planet is in space, therefore he's from
Are
space.
You sure he didn't fall from space and hatch out of an egg?
No, because he's not orc. Okay. He's not aging in reverse and he doesn't drink orange juice through his finger, Rob. Anyway, Mass Effect, yes, it did come out in November 2007, but fuck it.
It was probably gold in September.
It was in beta.
It was the critics had it, sure.
It was originally released for Xbox 360 in 2007, and it, of course, is the first. It was intended from the start to be a multiple chapter series, so we knew there would be more. They left it open for more. But you assume the role of Commander Shepard, who there's only one Commander Shepard in my heart. Sorry, Mark Meer, but Jennifer Hale forever. Who was modeled first? True story. We had Fem Shep first. But basically, it was...
So Fem Shep existed in September. Male Shep did not.
Right. Or something like that. Anyway, it used the Unreal Engine 3 for its groundwork. And basically, it was just built from the ground up to be an awesome piece of video game gorgeousness. And of course, now we've got wonderful high-res mods, and people are still... I was talking to Becky the other day, and she just finished it again. So, good job. Anyway, you play as Commander Shepard, who you decide everything about her or him that looks like within the reasons of the game, and then you bust out the mod manager and you change all of it. And then you can take all your different specialties. You can do different classes, either biotic or non-biotic. And then you travel across the galaxy chasing a completely obviously looking, messed up looking Turian guy. Who, I mean, one look at, how can you look at him and go, oh, he's not completely taken over by an inorganic species? No. Not with his face looking like that and the, you know, the circuitry peeking out of his body. No. Saren's not evil. Saren's a nice guy. He gives presents to small children. And, you know, raises money for orphanages, I guess. Anyway, so you take the Normandy all the way across, spending the entire game thinking about how you're going to fuck that Turian.
Wow.
No. You have your romance options, which were just three people, really. If you were a dude, you could romance Ashley or Liara. And if you were Femshep, you could romance Kaden or Liara.
I'm sorry, I'm just picturing in my head Dark Sakura having a YouTube channel. Hey guys, welcome to my YouTube playthrough of Mass Effect where I'm gonna fuck that Turian.
Well, it's pretty much the theme of my Tumblr. Anyway, you got more options in later games, thank God, because it wasn't very fair, I thought, because, you know, dude should have been able to just strip Kaden, right from the beginning. But no, you had to wait till the third game for that. Sorry, guys.
It was worth the payoff, though, in the end.
Identification. It was kind of sweet, even though I still think he's too nice. And, oh my God, Liara in the first game pissed me off so much, because she's like, oh, I'm 106 years old. But she's really, that's like being 15 in Asari years.
3-hour show, Dark Saga.
Oh, God. I do not have time for all of my rants. Anyway, real-time battles, those are fun. You have your health bar. You can keep your squad members alive. You also have a morality system that leads you more toward the polite and selfless versus aggressive and hostile, which is now, you know, it came to be known as Paragon or Renegade. Paragon being how to charm people and Renegade being to intimidate them. But yes, I could go more and more and more and more and more about the game. And it, you know, I wasn't really into it when it first came out. It took me a while.
Same.
Thanks, Shane.
Well, wasn't I also the one that kind of told you you had to play it, give it a second chance? I think I even said you'd be into the Tumblr fandom.
And then I heard Garrus's voice and it was over. His voice actor is a very handsome fellow. Kind of goofy, but I saw the episode of Buffy he was in, and it wasn't a good episode. I'm sorry that such a talented actor had to be in that episode of Buffy. It was not good. Anyway, I really don't know, you know, how much more I can say about it. It has since had, the first game had more DLC, Bring Down the Sky. And then, what was it? When Pinnacle Station. That one was okay. I didn't care for it because it had like all the deathmatch and capture the flag stuff that I don't think is fun. But the game got really great reviews across the board. For the Xbox 360 version, when it came out, Metacritic gave it a 91 out of 100, so that's definitely not bad. But as far as, you know, other things, it won, for the year it came out, it won Best RPG for the Spike Video Game Awards. Teambox Game Awards gave it Best Role-Playing Game of the Year, Best Story, Best Game of the Year.
IGN, you know, it won across the board on a lot of different, you know, best ofs. And of course now, He Who Shall Not Be Named, right? Honestly enough, he kind of ended a controversy about this game. Well, didn't necessarily end the controversy, but he shot something down. Basically, there was a neoconservative blogger named Kevin McCullough. Remember that, Rob?
No.
Anyway, he was, you know, going on that saying they had virtual orgasmic rape and blah, 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 blah. And He Who Shall Not Be Named literally said, this contrived controversy is absolutely ridiculous. And it made the other guy shut up. The guy who is the enemy of gamers everywhere.
A certain lawyer named Jack Voldemort, if I remember correctly.
Told this guy to shut the fuck up. And he shut the fuck up. He apologized, but said he still considered the material offensive. And it's basically people talking about shit in the game who never fucking played the game who were being assholes about it. Anyway, so eventually we have had other releases of this game. Of course, I played it on PC, which, you know, I also like modding the crap out of my game. We had the Xbox 360 release. We did it come out on... It came out on PS3.
Eventually. You had to wait for the Mass Effect trilogy, I think, for it to finally happen, but yeah.
And then it came out on Wii U.
Not the original Mass Effect.
No.
Mass Effect 3 did.
Okay, Mass Effect 3.
The original Mass Effect was only on PS3, Xbox 360, Xbox One backwards compatibility, and PC.
Yeah, which I, you know, like I said, I played on PC, modded the fuck out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that it has, like, the textures in my game look better than Mass Effect 3 did when it came out. So
those space dicks looked so space dicky.
That hot Turian dicking in HD.
No, they didn't give us naked Turians. They had models for it. Did you know that? Didn't put it in the game?
No, I did not know that.
They had models for it. Anyway, and because of this game, I mean, now I've got a blog that is quite literally six people away from hitting 10,000 followers.
Nerd.
Fuck, I don't know how that happened. I didn't think I was that funny.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, there was this classic Fox News segment where Jeff Keighley was talking about it, Mass Effect, and the opposing person admitted she had never even heard of the game until about 5 minutes before going on the air and issued an apology after being actually shown the scene in question. I remember that controversy. Yeah.
About what?
The
sex scenes?
Yeah, the sex scenes in the game, basically.
And that was very tastefully done. I must have...
It was basically Liara's space butt.
Yeah.
God. And so, but I mean, with, yeah, actually, that's even brought up. The anchor's name was Martha McCullum, was her name. Anyway, it's just an awesome game. If you haven't played it, why the fuck not? If you've been listening to this show the whole time, it's just really good, really fun, and really accessible. You can still get it on Steam, or I don't think it actually is on Origin, believe it or not, because I bought mine only through Steam.
I think it is on Origin now.
Maybe now,
there,
but
yeah.
I think it took it a while for Origin to actually update it, since it did. I think they had some like license thing with Steam.
Yeah.
Anyway. And of course, if anyone is interested, my Tumblr is massaffecting.tumblr.com. You can look at my stupid captions that I've been doing for fuck knows how long. And apparently, a few people like it. So, and if any of my Tumblr followers are listening to the show, thank you for listening to the episode. And shout out to y'all. Mass Effect is the best game ever. Next to the Guardian Legend.
All right, there it is. Your classic game of the week. Mass Effect. A game you knew was coming eventually here at Orange Lounge Radio, so why not episode 700? All right, we're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, there is more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. We're going to get to the mailbag. We're going to talk about what Reggie had to say about the Super Nintendo Classic this week, and we'll talk a little bit about a parody account that's going away on Twitter. More of Orange Lounge Radio with all that, and even more when we come back after this quick break.
It's starboard power coupling is overloaded. We've got a radiation leak on decks 10 through 12.
Starboard power coupling is down. Warp engines are offline.
Starboard power coupling is down.
Status of the warp drive.
The starboard power coupling is destroyed. I'm trying to reroute main power.
They're targeting our nacelles.
Stage to warp.
I can't. They've knocked out the starboard power coupling.
Get us out of here. Full impulse.
Engineering the bridge. Starboard power coupling is down. Containment field generator 3 is damaged. Attempting a bypass.
We will take the phaser and torpedo units offline and begin repairs of the starboard power coupling.
The Starboard Power Coupling Podcast returns next week with weekly episodes. Join Captain Matt, Commander Eddie, and Dr. Ken as we do record Googling, the news, and, of course, Star Trek Discovery away missions.
And we have one chance to get it right.
Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio Live tonight, episode number 700 for this September the 17th of 2017. We've had a fun show so far tonight when I'm not getting tongue-tied, where there was even cake and fire and cakes on fire, but we made a wish. Dark Sakura,
cake fire.
Cake fire. What did you wish for, Dark Sakura, when you blew out the candles?
If I tell you, then it won't come true.
Well, let's be real. It's not going to come true anyway. Because this is just a lie that we tell little kids. But
I wished for impeachment.
Wait,
safe.
Wait, impeachment of me from the show?
No, you're not an elected official.
Oh, you're right. That's right. I'm a cheer tater. Anyway,
either that or anvil piano. Same thing I want for Pat Robertson.
All right, we're going to get back into some more gaming news, but I want to thank you guys again for being here tonight over in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. JD in chat actually says, elect Rob to public office 2018. You know, I've thought about it, and I know I've said this on the show before, because you guys know I've been with Alan for over 7 years, but before I was with Alan, a couple years before that, and I don't remember if he would have been on this show because OLR was happening, but I actually dated a guy for about a year and a half who was a Well, he had run for state assembly. He didn't win, thank God, but he had won. He had run for public office, and I think I've said this before. From dating him and the experiences that I went through during that, I learned that any idiot can run for office, and I think what you saw happen last year probably just accentuates that point, but any idiot can run for office.
Did you hear, though, that Eddie Izzard is running?
I did not.
In the UK?
I did not.
Not for PM. I'll have to look it up again, but still. There's a big article I posted about it not too long ago, but Eddie Izzard is running.
Well, and then don't forget, our pal Travis Donovan ran for, I think it was mayor of Killeen, where he was, I think. Hmm. So, remember, he ran for office. Unfortunately, he didn't win. It might have been city council. I forget. I'm sorry, in retrospect. I know it was like a very local race, but it was cool to hear him go through that and talk about that on his show. I've thought about it, but I'm torn because... On one hand, I'm like, okay, with all the footage that's probably out there of me from the Rocky Horror Picture Show and some of the like weird shit I've said on stage, like, I don't know if I ever could get elected to public office, or the vast 700 episode library of this program. Somebody will take something out of context and put it out there and try to fuck with me if I were to run for office. But then...
Oh, he's running for parliament, by the way.
They'd have to listen to 700 episodes of that show.
What great promotion for this show. But then we elected a guy president who said, you know, he was going to grab... What did he say? Grabbing pussies. And
grab him by the pussy.
Grab him by the pussy. And that guy got elected president. So then there's a part of me that's like, I guess it doesn't matter if I've said something stupid that gets taken out of context.
He probably didn't really want to get voted for president. He just ended up becoming president.
Anyway, I didn't mean to make this political, but the story is really supposed to be that, yes, any idiot can run for office. And I've considered it. I think it would be interesting. I think it would be fun. I think I do a good job listening to people and playing mediator sometimes. Because, again, even though people might try to take some of the stuff out of context that I've done with Rocky Horror Picture Show, do you know how much fucking drama there is in theater troupes? Do you know how much fucking drama has to be mediated when you're running a fucking theater troupe? And for a while, I did mediate that drama. I finally passed that on to somebody else who mediates it now, and there's been no shortage of drama. But for the years I did it, I did mediate a lot of drama. And so I think that's a skill that can be used in public office, quite frankly. So anyway, there it is. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Act Deft in chat says, are you really worried about people taking you out of context, considering the lots of OLR edits there are, even done by yourselves? Editing is a powerful thing and a powerful tool, and I think it would be very easy to take something I've said on this show out of context, and somebody could apply it to a totally different thing that wasn't about a video game or something, and, you know, that's just a reality. Tiger Claw in chat says California did elect an actor as its governor at one time, at two times, yep. Actually. There wasn't just Schwarzenegger.
One of those actors became president.
Ronald Reagan was also an actor way back in the day, so was governor of California.
Who's president of the United States? Ronald Reagan, the actor? And there's your Back to the Future reference.
There it is, yes. All right. Let's get back into some actual video game talk now. We do have some games to get to, because there's politicians out there that play video games. You bet. The guy I used to date, I think, met his new boyfriend, husband, whatever, on World of Warcraft. So maybe they're married. I don't know. Who cares? All right, moving on. Loki, what do you have for us in games?
All right, so this is kind of out of nowhere, but Okami HD was announced for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. It's going to be coming out in December. It's going to feature 4K support and also widescreen, as the original game was just 4x3. So they'll be coming out December 12th, digital and retail for $19.99.
That's a good price.
Yeah, looks pretty nice. I mean,
nice.
I don't know. The game is kind of artistic anyways, so it's maybe the best 4K game, but it'll look nice, I'm sure. And then, of course, because everyone's up in arms, everybody loves the new look of Mario without a shirt and everything. So now, of course, take it to modders to... You see, this is what happens when you trust modders. They're going to remove clothing. And so now for Super Smash Brothers on the Wii U, they have a mod where it's shirtless Mario. You can play a shirtless Mario.
Of course. Of course. Complete with Mario titty?
Complete with Mario titties.
as was meant to be, per Nintendo's own direct, clearly. All right. Well, speaking of things that Nintendo has changed.
And apparently they have metal shirtless Mario as well. Oh. Metal titties.
Even better. Cut right through you. Moving on to other news out of Nintendo. Hey, their Switch app, which was, it's kind of a mess, y'all. That Switch app was kind of a mess. But they're trying to fix some of the issues with it, and one of the big ones was fixed this week. The 1.10 update is out for the Nintendo Switch app, and voice chat will now work while in the background and while other apps are up front and center.
Hooray.
You know, just like Skype and Discord and stuff have worked forever. So the Nintendo Switch app finally moving into 2017.
Common sense has prevailed.
There you go. So anyway, it hasn't fixed everything, but that was probably one of the biggest problems with it. So congratulations, et cetera. A little less congratulations and more sadness towards the fans of Battleborn and probably hearing that the game is pretty much done at this point. They're not pulling the plug. They're not taking the servers offline. But after the upcoming fall update, according to creative director Randy Varnell, the servers will stick around for the foreseeable future, but it's just going to be pretty much a static game at that point. Now, in the fall update, there will be skins, there will be balance patches, but this is pretty much it. The game is really only about, not even a year and a half old, and it's been free to play for 3 months. What happened to Battleborn? Well, a little game called Overwatch that came out around the same time happened to Battleborn. So Battleborn didn't do so great as a result. So there it is. Battleborn is no longer going to really be supported after this next patch in the fall. But it'll still be up if you're still playing it. Moving on, Dark Soccer, what do you have for us in rapid fire news?
Oh, just some stuff. So a new character is been announced for Dragon Ball FighterZ, going on with Yamcha and Tenshinhan, is going to be an original character, Jinzo Ningen 21, or Nijuichi. She's got glasses, wears an interesting outfit, and is nowhere in the series except this game, but she's going to figure into story mode, so hey, I'm pretty excited. I like how she looks. She might be cosplay worthy. And then in other news, there is Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap on Nintendo Switch has outsold all the other versions combined. So, wow. And it's a really good game.
It is. It's a great remake.
Although I wish that the animal forms had like lady forms to go with Wonder Girl.
Oh, I didn't even realize that was missing.
Well, Wonder Girl is in there. Just
no, I know Wonder Girl's there, but yeah.
But every form is still like the fish man, the mouse man.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, but I loved...
The lion one's the coolest, though, because he drags the sword behind him.
I love the whole you can hit a button and instantly switch between, like, the Sega Master System. Well, look, it's not a direct port of the Master System game because it's still on widescreen.
No, it's a complete remake.
Yeah, but it looks... You wouldn't be able to tell the difference, really, you know, unless you are really, really a careful eye.
And it has the FM music from the Master System version.
Nice.
Which, even the cartridge, if you play it through an FM-capable... One, the U.S. cartridge, won't play it.
Nice.
So it's a good way to get some of the stuff that we lost back.
Yeah. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Orange Wright says, it's really great to play that on a portable. The Switch difference with a trademark sign around that. I think I bought Dragon's Trap on the Switch. And yeah, I mean, the Switch makes a compelling argument for if it's the exact same game that's being sold on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, the Switch makes a compelling argument for I can pick this up and play on the go if I buy it here. That's why I kind of kicked myself when I got Sonic Mania on PlayStation 4. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, it works great on PlayStation 4 and the game is still good, but I literally forgot it was coming out on Switch and I wish I'd bought it there. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Sony and Microsoft, if they choose to do anything in response. Well, I guess Microsoft kind of has the whole Windows 10 thing. So it'd be interesting to see if Sony brings back the Vita. Just kidding. I don't think they're going to do that. They'll probably just rely on the more power that's in that system as opposed to the Switch. I mean, let's be real. The Switch is not capable of doing a game like Horizon Zero Dawn. So the PlayStation 4 does always have that. All right, let's travel around and check out what is coming out in stores this week. Loki, what's going to be on shelves this week?
Quite a bit. So we've got the Solus Project on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation VR. We have Muv Luv Alternative on PC.
Yay, Muv Luv!
Zing the Land Beyond on PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation VR. Echo on PC and PlayStation 4. Hidden Dragon Legend on PlayStation 4. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Mary Skelter Nightmares on the Vita. NBA 2K18 on PC, the Switch, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Pankapu on, looks like, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Pankapu?
Yeah, Pankapu.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know what that is. It's just a thing. SteamWorld Dig 2 on the Switch. Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 on the Switch. Guild Wars 2 Path of Fire on PC. Pokken Tournament DX on the Switch. Project Cars 2 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Also, SteamWorld Dig will be making it out to PC, Mac, and Linux. The Lego Ninjago Movie video game on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And Caveman Warriors on PC, the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And that's it.
All right. Well, over in Japan, it's actually a pretty similar story this week for the Japanese releases. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite also gets its Japanese release this week. A couple days later, on the 21st, is when the releases are coming out in Japan. Patapon gets its PlayStation 4 release. We already had that here in the U.S. Looks like it was a couple weeks later in Japan. So the Patapon PS4 releases this week. And Project Cars 2 also getting a Japanese release this week. All that on the PlayStation 4. Over on the Nintendo Switch, just one release this week, but it's a pretty big one. It's the Dragon Quest X all-in-one package. Speaking of online games, I would really like to see make it released out here. That's one of them. But also, actually, I believe the Pokken Tournament is also being released in Japan. Yes, it is. Just a day later. That's why I missed it at the first glance. But Pokken Tournament does have the same day release as in the U.S. and as even Europe, as Darksoccer will get into in a moment. Lastly, but certainly not leastly, on the Nintendo 3DS this week, Pocket Monster Gold and Silver is going to be released on the 3DS. Of course, that is Pokemon Gold and Silver, of course. there are actually going to be little cards that you can buy in stores to then do on the eShop if you wanted to do it that way for whatever reason. That is what you have to look forward to on the 3DS. How about the UK Dark Soccer? I may have spoiled one of them. Sorry, but that's a worldwide release.
On the 18th, we have Echo for PC and PS4. On the 19th, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. On the 22nd, we have Pokemon Gold and Silver, Pokken Tournament DX, the Lego Ninja Go video game, on a bunch of stuff. And there you go.
All right. Now we're going to get to the mailbag. Every week, you guys email us your favorite stuff over at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Sometimes it's feedback for the show. Sometimes it's, I don't know, a pat on the ass and a job well done. Sometimes it's, fuck you, you fucking fuck. But Jamie deletes those emails.
Sometimes it's got cake in the subject line.
Sometimes it does have cake in the subject
line. And bunnies.
Let's get to tonight's email. Star Sarah.
Greetings, peoples. This week, I had a truly unique experience at work. I talked to somebody. Lately, I've been taking my Nintendo Switch to work with me and playing Mario plus Rabbids. One of my fellow employees saw me playing the game and asked me what kind of game I was playing. I explained Mario plus Rabbids like this. It's like chess. You have different kinds of pieces that can move and attack in different ways. There's also two sides who fight each other using tactics and strategy along the way. Also, there are rabbits on acid. I thought this was a good way to describe Mario plus Rabbids. Given how my coworker reacted, he must have thought differently. This experience brought up the following question that I'd like your input on. Why should I continue talking to people? I mean, you all claim to be sentient creatures, but some of you lack the sense the demigod gave yeast. Stay drunk, entertainment.
Is that a Flying Spaghetti Monster reference? I'm not sure.
Mm.
It might be. So why should I continue talking to people? That's the question for us this week. If you don't want to talk to people, don't. Don't do anything you don't want to do.
I will say this, that people who don't talk to other people in an office environment tend to get the piss end of reviews and, you know, aren't as well referred to. Because networking in your office is the way you lead
to. You might be labeled a bitch if you don't. Smile.
Or just the weird girl who sits in that cube with her headphones. Well, that was me. I was the weird girl that would sit in the cube with headphones. But I actually hit my current job. I fit right in with everybody else. So, or you know what? Find a job that has cool people at it.
Or find a job where you don't have to talk if you don't want to talk. Although, I think it would be a good idea, Redertainment. You do want to, like, at least talk to yourself in the mirror. Practice with your voice once in a while.
Say it with me.
Yeah.
I'm good enough.
Yeah,
I'm smart enough. And doggone it, people like me.
Of course. You should just to make sure you don't like forget how to talk or that your voice doesn't go out or something like that. Like you should still practice. And to be fair, Redertainment, some people might be pretty cool if you give them a chance and talk to them. So, you know.
There is a person underneath the suit.
That's right. Don't do anything you don't want to do, but at the same time, take a risk.
Sometimes it can work out to your advantage.
Yeah. Say hi to somebody new today.
Then listen for blackmail.
Say hi to a stranger.
No.
And see what happens.
Don't say hi to a stranger because they'll just give you a weird look and try to shoot you.
What if they have candy?
Next email. Hello, LR. I write tonight not to respond to something on last week's show, not to plug anything of mine, and not to shower you with bad puns. Instead, the reason for this email is twofold. First off, I want to congratulate you guys on your latest milestone. Thank you. 700 episodes sounds like a lot because it is.
It is.
It represents an enormous amount of work, literal thousands of hours of headlines, insights, interviews, and discussions, plus the occasional rant and the frequent food tangents.
Okay. Just to math. I don't mean to bring math into this, but I'm going to because I know there's at least a couple math nerds out there. Now, if I take 700 episodes... and I multiply that by 3 hours an episode.
Except our earlier ones were...
They were. The earlier episodes were 2, and lately our shows have been running like 2.5 hours. But we had marathon shows. We did E3 specials that weren't numbered. Technically, I should be able to count the spinoff shows like Courthouse 2. So we're going to just say, to make it easy, 3 hours.
Okay.
3 hours an episode.
Three-hour train wrecks.
You could count... the show you did on OLR where you did
pump up the volume.
Thank you.
And I'd love to bring that back if we had some licensing.
Well, or look at doing remixes of Overclocked or something. I don't know. Who knows? All right. Anyway, so that's 2,100 hours. Okay. So I'm going to divide that by how many hours in a day? 24. 87 and a half straight days of content.
Jeez.
So you would.
We need lives.
To marathon this entire show would take about 3 months. Just something to think about there for a minute.
You've built a community and kept it quite entertained. As a part of that community, allow me to say thanks very much, not only for the massive body of work, but also for continuing to put on the show each and every week for our enjoyment. Seriously, thank you so much. We'll keep meeting you at that dinner table.
Aww. Not that this is a direct comparison, but if we look at TV, one of the stats I like to point out a while back was the longest running primetime television show, The Simpsons, 618 episodes.
Wow. We've passed The Simpsons now.
South Park, 278. Gunsmoke, 635. What's another one that's pretty... Lassie! We have more episodes than Lassie!
Fuck that dog!
All right, so moving on.
Yeah.
Second, I wanted to tell you that in working on the UI for super multitasking, I discovered something unbelievable. A fact that has been in front of my eyes for years, in front of all of our eyes, actually, but I never noticed it. Maybe none of us did. So here it is. The shift key on the right side of a standard PC keyboard is wider than the shift key on the left side of a standard PC keyboard. This seems to apply to every keyboard I have, except for keyboards built into Mac laptops, where the shift keys are the same size.
He's right. Like, I've never noticed. I'm looking at
and
the
here I am looking at my Mac to confirm that they're the same. Because I'm on a MacBook Pro 2014.
Okay, so. Well, the studio computer, I have a little Microsoft keyboard here that's probably as old as this show. But sure enough, the shift key on the right is bigger than the one on the left.
Is that the same thing on a PC laptop?
Yeah, my laptop's like that.
Huh.
You know, in about a couple more years, we're going to have more episodes than Saturday Night Live, too.
Oh, my God. If we make it that long.
It's the same.
Well,
the show could end at any time. Anytime, kids. No. Anytime.
Well, am I the only one who didn't realize this up until now? Or is this a shocking revelation for everyone present?
Chatters, press 1 if your mind has been blown.
And by the way, yes, Jamie, I have been double spacing in between sentences for as long as I can remember. I did take a keyboarding class in high school, and I honestly can't remember whether I started doing that before or after. And there you have it. Have a great week, everyone. Aaron, YYR. Yeah, it's something that that's like a very common thing for people who took typing or had teachers who used for computer classes.
Or nuns who would smack standard. You with a ruler when you didn't do it the way you were supposed to.
Whatever. The double spacing is.
Let's see. We have 2. We have 1. We have a dash. I always knew. I knew always, says Fifth Dream. Come on, Buntiful Cakes, says Mind Blown. There you go. How did you find that out doing multitasking? I mean, I imagine the shift key does something in your game, but how did that become important that the left key was not as big as the right key? I'm curious now.
Well, I think that the reason why is that on a standard PC keyboard, it's done to line up with the enter key.
Yeah.
Because it's as long as the enter, if I'm right.
Right, no, you're right.
Not yeah. on mine.
On mine it is.
Well, and I was looking at my Mac, and those two were the same, but my return key is the same size as my caps lock. So the whole thing is fairly symmetrical until you get to the arrow buttons.
Doesn't it have to do with where your pinky or your fourth finger goes when you hit the shift key? If it doesn't stick out far enough on the right side, you might not hit it?
I don't know, but now I need to look at my my iMac keyboard and see if it's set up the same way.
Because Mavis Beacon taught me how to type, and so...
Who?
Mavis Beacon.
Oh.
Like the grandma of internet typing?
Right, whatever. I learned to type getting into a speed contest with my roommate at the time. Because I wanted to be able to keep up with the AOL chat room.
Never forget FFFF space JJJJ space FFFF space JJJJ.
Guess
Never
who didn't
forget.
Take typing?
I didn't take typing. Mavis Beacon taught me. I learned on my own time.
I didn't formally or through any type of instruction learn to touch type.
Well,
I was kind of typing already, but then I was like, well, maybe I should like learn to type faster. So I started doing Mavis Beacon Teaches Typing, and I got faster.
Okay.
All right.
I learned through AOL. Because of reasons.
And that's it for emails?
Yes.
Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails for a future week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com.
Do it.
After 700 episodes, tell us a joke. Send us a joke. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Send us a joke. All right. But keep it classy. Doesn't have to be a clean joke, but keep it classy. All right. Let's get back into some gaming news. Loki.
All right. So I'll try to be positive because we're talking about Nintendo.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And we're talking about some classic systems.
Sending prayers.
So Reggie, you basically said, hey, you know, we know that the demand is really high on these systems. However, I strongly urge you not to overbid on an SNES Classic system on any auction sites. You shouldn't have to pay more than $79.99, he says. And promising that they're going to have more systems available at launch. That you know, not maybe plentiful, but it will be easier to find them. So don't buy from scalpers, which really is good advice. You shouldn't buy from scalpers. But kind of unheard of that they also announced that in 2018 they're bringing back the NES Classic. So apparently, you know, there is a huge response, obviously. The demand is so high for the system that they decided that they're going to be bringing it back summer of 2018 with brand new shipments. So, interesting. Wonder if it's going to have different games with it this time.
Probably not. I think the only thing that will probably have changed on that system is however they hacked into that the first time will probably be patched up. And I can't believe nobody else is bringing this up, at least not that I've read. Like, people are either going the route that you're going, we're like, oh, maybe it'll be a 2.0 with new games, which it ain't going to happen. Or it's just the whole, oh, they're finally remaking what they did before. I don't think so. I think there will be a change in that firmware, and it's going to block whatever method they were using. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're not going to get around it again.
Oh, but yeah, immediately.
I'm not stupid enough to say that. But I am saying they're going to block whatever's been doing,
Like, a good indicator will be the SNES Classic Edition when that comes out to see what is able, you know, what's capable of that. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that will be hacked immediately. I would assume the same would be the NES Classic. Honestly, I don't know. Like, I get it that people like to do that stuff, but you know what? The people who like to do that stuff, they bought the system. They probably would still, they're not going to not buy. It's just that they like all their stuff in one spot, all of their classic games in one spot. Take the fucking hint. Perhaps release the virtual console. Perhaps you could even make a virtual console since you're dicking around with virtual console on the Switch. Make a system that's like the NES Classic Edition that, hey, guess what? It looks all retro and shit, and it connects to the internet. You can download fucking ROMs to it and make it affordable.
Stoppy in chat says, yes, I too expect a patch to combat hacking. Original ones will still go for money because of it over at live.vognetwork.com. Yeah, it is a little weird that they're suddenly coming out and saying they're going to make more of them, but at the same time, is it super surprising? Not really.
I'd be curious to see how many they're going to make, how readily available they're going to be, and if companies like GameStop or quote-unquote ThinkGeek lock them behind like a paywall to get that shit.
I'm also going to say this, to Reggie's credit, I know it's very easy to be cynical about what he's saying, and believe me, there's a large part of me that's very cynical as well, and I definitely feel actions speak louder than words, Reggie. So if that Super Nintendo, you know, if pre-orders are not supposed to be the barometer for availability for this thing, then I hope you're able to prove it day one. Actions speak louder than words. But at the same time, I'm hopeful that that action is coming based on the fact that he said anything at all, because let's be real. He didn't have to say a goddamn thing. So there's a part of me that's thinking maybe there is hope for people that do not yet have a Super Nintendo pre-order but still want to get one of these. I mean, that is a pretty powerful statement for Reggie to come out and say, don't buy from scalpers. We gotcha. Now, again, I wouldn't. You know, I come from a place of pre-order privilege with this because, you know, I do have a pre-order, at least right now, I still have my pre-order with Best Buy. But I like to think that even if I didn't have that pre-order secured right now, I would feel a little better about this, but I'd probably still be going right at, you know, 8 a.m. or whenever the store opens the day these things come out. I still don't think they're going to be that plentiful. But maybe instead of stores only getting 24 of them or whatever it was last time, I have to ask Alan how many it was when he went. Remember when he camped out at Best Buy and still couldn't get one? Mm-hmm. Maybe instead of 24 per store, maybe there will be 72. You know, maybe the number's going to be a lot higher, and something where people that do line up and bother to wait will get one. So we'll see. We'll see. All right. SSGO 100 Matt in chat says, rumor is that Targets are getting 30 to 90 stocks of Super Nintendo Classic. I'll believe it when I see it. So, all right. Let's move on to some more stories, including a story about Final Fantasy XIV. No, I'm not going to be doing a big commercial for the MMO, but I do think it's kind of neat that because of the hurricanes that have happened recently here in the U.S., namely, of course, Harvey and Irma, which, you know, obviously those images of the things that Harvey did in Houston and what Irma was doing to the Keys, you know, is really horrible what's going on. We talked about that last week. Well, I don't know if you know this, but in Final Fantasy XIV, if you don't log into the game and go into your house every something like 45 to 90 days, I think it is a character. I can't remember exactly how many days it is. I want to say it's as far as 90 days, but it might be as low as 45. But if you don't go into the house regularly, you stand to lose the house. It is demolished and the space can be sold off to somebody else. You get all the junk that was in your house, go to like a refund vendor or something that you can still do for 30 days, and you get some of the gil reimbursed, but not all of it. But this system's in place. We'll have to ask Alan about it because he didn't log into the game for so long. His house got demolished. I was on when the demolition notice popped up.
I'm sure
I was the co-owner.
Mine is long ago.
Well, did you ever buy a house?
No, I just have a guild room.
Then you're fine. Those don't go away unless I delete it or whoever. No, because you went to a different guild.
I went to a different guild.
Whoever your guild master is, as long as they didn't delete it, then or kick you out of the guild, then you still have it.
Yeah.
So, but anyway. My point with all that is that Final Fantasy XIV and Square Enix, they actually put a stay on that. So right now they did a patch last night that stopped the clock. Or not last night, it was Thursday night. They did a patch that stops the clock. And they're going to stop the clock for, I think, 2 weeks. 2 weeks starting on September 15th. So there will be a 2-week grace period with no demolitions. So this way people that are without power or not able to log into the game for other reasons right now will have an additional 2 weeks to get to a computer, log in, and be able to keep their game and keep the house going and all that stuff. I would imagine a lot of people just had a friend log in on their behalf, but of course that involves giving your password away, which you're not supposed to do, but I'd be lying if I said I haven't done it in a similar scenario. So somebody I really, really trust. So, all right, there you go. I just think that's kind of neat that the MMO is kind of changing its rules to accommodate for the real-world scenario. So, all right. Stoppy in chat says, more like final foreclosure. Am I right? Yes. Yes, you're right. All right. Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
Stuff. Actually, this one is another way that video games have done good things for people. And actually, this comes from Rome, actually. A Serbian father who was living in Italy actually had his 13-year-old daughter trapped for 4 years to sell her to a buyer in France for $18,000. Yeah, good dad there. And she actually used a video game to help herself escape. So I'm trying to find exactly what it was. She was being groomed to be a child bride, and I'm sorry, this is taking me a moment. Anyway, she had been in school until she was 13, and then she was locked up, but she had a video game on a SIM-less cell phone that she would play, but one day she got an alert that she had a weak password-free Wi-Fi network near her. And so she used the Wi-Fi network on the video game to find a multiplayer feature on the game that she used to help call for help. She said that a lot of people ignored her until they took it seriously, and she gave the person the information, and then the police were able to track her down. So she's under police protection. Her asshole dad is in jail. I hope the guy in France who was trying to buy her is in jail, because that shit is not cool.
Yeah.
But she used a video game to network with people to save herself.
It's interesting, you know, these stories. Well, sometimes we've heard the dark side about how MMOs result in really bad situations for people when maybe young people meet people they met online on an MMO or something. We've heard kind of the bad side of that. So it's nice to hear the good side, too. Not that this story is necessarily good, because we get into this whole element of human trafficking, which is a really, you know, sick thing that's happening in our society. And it's one of those things where it's like, I think a lot of us don't realize that this shit happens in the world, and it's pretty sick. But the good news is that this girl was saved because of whatever. It's curious that they don't name the game she was playing, but perhaps it's nothing we would recognize anyway, since she was in Italy, right? So, you know, it could be a game that was localized for, you know, Italian audiences anyway. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like it was something where you could interact with other players. So thanks to the chat in the game, you know, she got rescued. She was able to put out that call for help. So that's great, and that's great that her dad was too stupid to think of that could be a possibility.
Yeah.
So.
Good on her.
Yep. Hope she's able to turn life around and have a great life in spite of that really, 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 truly her hideous experience.
Yeah.
So. All right. Anyway, let's see. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Kind of an interesting story, again, about kind of like the good things of gaming and, you know, kind of piggybacking on the Final Fantasy story we had a minute ago. S. Joe and Hunter Matt says, I remember when Hurricane Sandy hit New York, there was a mall in Connecticut that had power and offered free high-speed internet for people who were without power from the storm. I remember seeing a dude with his PC rig hooked up in the food court of this mall doing his WoW dailies. Maybe not what was intended the Wi-Fi to be used for, but people have their priorities all over the place.
Actually, when I was in Alabama a couple years ago, I went to the Dunkin' Donuts, and someone was there. Two people were there with a full PC rig playing MMOs.
You know, and in spite of, I'm sure some could make an argument that the internet traffic maybe shouldn't have been taken up by that. But at the same token, you know, in times of crisis, like, people's mental health is a very serious thing. And maybe if this is what this guy kind of had to do to take a mental break from the stress of the situation, then is it really that bad? As long as everybody else's internet was working, then, you know, so be it, right? So, anyway, let's move on. Just a couple more stories for you guys, and then we're going to open up the Skype line if any of you want to call in and say hello here on episode 700. You'll have that ability shortly at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. Please, if you've never called the show before, give Echo123 a call first just to test your connection. Meanwhile, Loki.
It's always sad to see CEOs step down from their posts, but I'm going to have to report that CEO Kazurai, the parody account on Twitter, is going to be retiring 2018. Yeah. Just
the parody account.
The parody account.
Yes.
Yes. It's unfortunate. It'd be funny if he came back as like somebody else, like another CEO.
Well, did you read the letter from the guy who was running it and kind of, you know, I guess the gist I got from it was that, well, the joke's running out and I don't really have the motivation that I once had.
Yeah, but
it
was basically, no, here's what he says. So for over 8 years now, I've been running this Twitter account. Originally started because I wanted to make jokes about video game news, rumors, press conferences, but I knew nobody in real life would have, or knew nobody in real life that would have gotten them. Between then and now, I have somehow inexplicably managed to gain over 100,000 followers. This has included people in the games media that I read on a daily basis, people that I have worked with, some of my favorite games, and most importantly of all, Shuhei Yoshida. And, you know, just it's been fun from the very start, a ton of fun, but it's been, you know, looks like it's getting hard. You know, recently, though, I've been tweeting a lot less often. You know, while I still spend plenty of time playing video games, I spend a lot less time following video game news. Basically saying, therefore, I have decided to that in 2018 will be the last year of the Twitter account. So he says, I want to do an account for one more for E3. I also want to give myself to do a proper ending for the account. I just don't know what it is going to be yet. and I'm rubbish at giving things up. So, be interesting.
He used the word rubbish, so he must be overseas. All right, but anyway. Yeah. But all joking aside and sleuthing on who might be running it aside, it's interesting that there's such a lead time on this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm ending it after the next E3, which is still a good 9 months away. So that would be like me saying Orange Lounge Radio is going to be done in the year 2020.
It's just
quite a lead time.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
And I don't take me serious. I don't, this show is going to keep going till it doesn't. That's what I pretty much always said. Oh, all right. Anyhow, one more story for you guys before we call it a night here and get to your calls. Let's talk about Mario 64. How about a new mod for Mario 64? I don't know if I would call it a mod. It's kind of weird because I don't think they exactly modded the cartridge. I think what they had to do, they went in here and they actually like did a patch for the emulator. I think they like mod the emulator. So instead of just hacking the ROM, this tool for Mario 64 will let you go into the virtual RAM of the emulator, and then it shares information so that you can play Super Mario 64 online. That's right, up to 24 people playing Super Mario 64 online with each other. You can play as other characters, too. You can play as Waluigi, which I think is very important to point out, Princess Peach, Rosalina.
And what's great is they all play differently.
Yeah, like Princess Peach has her floaty that you would expect, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Wario's in there. A lot of the other Mario characters. Toad, it looked like he
and
ran really fast.
And you control each other.
What's that?
And you control each other.
Oh, you control each other too?
You can beat up each other and kill each other.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, so it looks like a lot of fun. And, of course, we're waiting for Nintendo to just file the DMCA. Which
they already did against his first video that he put
kinda
up.
Yeah, like the video got taken down for the music because they did use the music from Mario 64 in the trailer, at least. IGN, because I guess IGN doesn't get strikes on their channel because it looks like they reposted it. They just reposted the video on their channel, and it's up. It's fine. You can see it. So
yeah, just do check it out. I do know that they had like a website that's dedicated to their forums or whatever that you should probably check out, just because I'm assuming that, you know, all these, he has the links to the downloads in the actual videos, but you know, if you want to check out the forums, it's sm640.com, and you know, check out the updates on there. But yeah, I watched some gameplay of it today and it looks fucking hilarious. Just like even watching people, like there's I saw two people doing a 120 star run or whatever, and like during it, one of the guys like was sitting there and was doing like an animation or something, and the other guy was beating him up and killed him and put him behind. It was funny because
that's funny.
It's just, I don't know, it's really cool. And you can see each other, but it's not entirely in sync, so you'll see, like, for example, like when you're throwing the Bomb King or whatever off the mountain, you'll see kind of Mario spinning around. There's like, he's holding nothing, it's just like kind of spinning around. But it's neat. I don't know. But 24 players at one time, that I want to see some awesome games done quick with that.
Nobody asked for this. All right. Before we open up the Skype line, which we're about to get to here, so if you want to give us a call, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. JD in our chat says, regarding the last story about the advance notice of ending the account, JD says, I don't know, in some ways it's kind of nice to give your fans some warning. If it's possible, though. You know, it may, in some cases, it's not always possible. You know, I don't know what'll happen with OLR. I don't like to think about ending the show right now. It's just kind of one of those. That's why I say it'll be done when it'll be done. If we can give notice, I think we will. But if we can't,
putting you on notice,
then we're not going to be able to. It just kind of depends on what the situation is. You know, I just think, but maybe, do you think maybe there's too much notice? 9 months, that's a lot of notice. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. It's not necessarily a bad thing. I guess didn't Lost set their series finale like 2 years in advance because Lost was kind of starting to fall up its own ass a bit, and so the ABC was like, we're gonna set the end date now so that you know when the story needs to be wrapped up.
Well, you also
and
know
they
like
still,
well,
they
the
still
next
didn't really wrap it up.
Game of Thrones is gonna be the end too. I mean, it's,
yeah,
like,
that's true.
You got notice.
So. We've known that for a while, but that's Game of Thrones is also based on books, even though the books aren't done.
They've so deviated.
Yeah, well, yeah, at this point. Hasn't George R.R. Martin kind of told them what's supposed to happen in the books? Not that I guess that it matters. They do deviate from the books, but...
Yeah.
Not as much as Walking Dead deviates, though, right? Doesn't Walking Dead deviate a lot more? I don't know.
I don't know, because I don't care about Walking Dead.
Well, and those shows are all on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Another thing. I mean, I was able to watch the entire run of Twin Peaks, but the whole on-demand element of that really helped. So there was that. All right. The Skype line is open right now over at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you'd like to give us a call, you can do that right now. In the meantime, I'm going to check in while we wait for some calls and see if Loki has any last-minute stories.
Yes, apparently there is some modders that are making a demake of Half-Life 2 in Half-Life 1's engine called Half-Life 2 Classic. And it looks old, as Half-Life 1 would look. But yeah. So apparently they have a demo that's available on ModDB. So go search for Half-Life 2 Classic and you can check out what they've got so far. Which I don't know. I guess
fans continuing to deliver on Half-Life when Valve will not.
You know, they never asked whether they could. It's just whether they should have.
Dungeon Buster in chat pointing out regarding TV, The Americans is also ending in a season or two. I don't even know that show. I have to look to Critical Myth reviews to tell me what's popular on TV right now, because a lot of times I don't know, but I just look at whatever John and his team is writing about. Dungeon Buster in chat also says this last season of Game of Thrones isn't based on any book, just a general outline by Martin. And then Bob Coffey caught your reference that I also caught with what you just said, saying life finds a way.
Yeah.
Orange Lounge Radio, again, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call here on our 700th episode, not that I'm guilting you into it, but... Or is Skype working? Hopefully somebody in chat, if somebody is trying to call and is not getting through... let me know, because I know Bobby was having calls. See, Rama says we're not answering. Son
so
of a bitch.
And then this
happened earlier.
On right. Another note, speaking of Mario 64, so apparently there's another guy. I think the guy that was maybe doing, I don't know if this is the same one that did the editor, like the Mario thing, but he made infinite size levels for Super Mario 64. So he's got like a level that's like Mario Kart or something that Mario's running in. That's ridiculous. Oh, it's in the Woohoo Island is actually where he's running around. Wow, that's crazy. All these mods, man.
So apparently some of our listeners, I was worried about this, because remember how Bobby tried to call us at the end of the show and it wouldn't
Skype
work?
Skype was being shit.
But I'm on right now, and I got the little green check mark.
Did you close it and open it again?
Yes. Did I try turning it off and then on again?
Yes.
Yes. I have turned it off, and I've now turned it back on. So we'll see if it'll work. And what we'll do there. So we'll give it a minute just to see if anyone gets through. If not, shoot. I should have had Plan B up and ready to go, but I didn't. But we can always, I guess, field questions from chat if we have to do it that way. But that's going to frustrate me, because that's even worse. That's even worse than when Skype wouldn't work at all. When Skype wouldn't work at all, at least I could kind of like see that. So wait a minute. Did the recent count just go up? Am I just not seeing the calls come through? Because I see that this person has tried to call twice.
Do they have a way to turn off notifications or something?
I'm not sure.
It's that wonderful window.
Whoa! I went into tools options and it's like think. I'm trying to go into, and this is the beauty of radio, everybody, is that sometimes... Let's see. Yes, I don't want sounds, but notification setting when somebody tries to call me. Yes, I should see that. Ugh. That's so awful. All right. Well, on our 700th episode, how appropriate that everything is shutting down. I'm going to see if I can quickly put together Plan B. Can you guys fill like 2 minutes?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Let me sign out of Skype here while I put together Plan B, the joys of live radio. Take it away, Loki and Dark Soccer.
Any other stories we haven't covered?
No, I have not. It's very slow.
Well, I could see what I can dig up.
I've been building with Legos while we've been doing this. See, because they have wonderful programs, one through BrickLink, which is called Stud.io or Studio, and you can actually build stuff with digital Legos, basically. And what's kind of cool about it, though, is when you're done building it, you can actually order the parts. So I decided as an experiment, just to kind of learn the editor for this, I'm building my house. And so it's just been laying out floor plans and stuff like that right now until I can get something that looks proportionally correct.
Are you going to put your house in your house?
Yes. Actually, my idea...
Houseception?
My idea was if I could make, you know, some good mocks that I would give them to my kids as Christmas gifts because they would have their own set and it would be cool. Because one of the ones I was going to do, because I really like the Lego movie stuff where they have kind of the remix sets. So, like, they have one that's a fire truck mech. And so my son wanted a garbage truck mech. And I found a garbage truck design that's one of their official sets that I thought that could work well for that with just a little bit of tweaking. And so I'm going to do that eventually. But right now, while I'm learning how to actually use the editor, I was going to start with something easier like my house, which would be cool because I just built one of the creator sets, the fish, was the old fish shack or something like that, fish store. And that one's pretty sweet. It kind of gave me a lot of fun ideas. I mean, this is just all part of the stupid obsession crap that I have now with goddamn Legos, man. I swear to God. Such a mistake to should not have gone to the Lego store, but now I'm just like running low on money because of stupid Legos.
I keep looking at that Millennium Falcon.
It's so expensive and not really worth it. I mean, it's worth it if you're a fan of like Star Wars. I'm not that big of a fan of Star Wars. And here's the other problem too with those. Like, I want to get a lot of the collector sets, like the modular buildings. One, they're way overpriced, and two, like, for, like, my kids playing, like, I had the choice between one of the modular buildings or the fish store one that I got, and I went with the fish store one because my son wanted a diving mask for the minifigs, and they had tons of them in there, and so the only problem with the fish store is it's meant as more of a display piece than being able to play with it, because it's too tight to get your hand in there to actually move the figures around or even move. It's just such a cramped thing. And they even designed like the staircase going up to the office where a minifig can't even fit through there. So I wanted to make something more that they can actually, it's open and they can play with, but it looks nice.
Okay. I have Skype Plan B set up.
All right.
So we're
cool.
I'm going to hope it works, but I don't know until we get a call. So what I've done, just to explain. So instead of Skype natively running through the computer, what I've done is I went and grabbed my iPad, which is a new iPad. It looks like it might be working, so we're going to see right now if this actually works. If I hook it up this way, taking the call through my iPad, I'm trying to take this call, and let's see if it works. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
I'm about to say Plan B works.
Yay, Plan B works.
Yay,
Plan B. Oh, yay.
Thank God. No more kids.
And we didn't need a prescription.
Thank God for Plan B. What is on your mind, my friend?
Oh, wait, wait. Oh, are we
playing a cam game now? Are we really doing it? We're on the iPad. I got video.
Hey, he can see you too.
I have here the official alcoholic beverage of Orange Sound Radio and the Vogue.
Fireball. I think that is...
Ew, veto.
I think that is part of, that might actually be a Brad reference, Brad from Pod Culture reference.
I vetoed it because it's gross.
Apparently you can only hear Ron out of the left channel.
Yeah, let me check. I'm going to check our audio out when it's running here. Sorry, Rama, can you tell us a little more about your drink that you're having there? Ooh. Actually, you are not even coming through the recording at all. That's... So our podcasters aren't even going to hear him at all. That's so stupid. All right, let's try this. I'm going to move him over here. Oh. Oh, no. I know what it is. We're going to do...
Live radio.
Yes, it's live radio. What can I say? I'm having to go to Plan B. How about now?
That is a lovely studio you got there, man. Lovely studio.
Now we can't hear him at all.
All right.
Yay. Oh, my God. This is the worst day ever.
No, it's a great day.
It is a great day, but I'm just...
Because we ate cake.
Yeah. Okay. Line L, mono on 910. Now, how can we hear him?
That is a lovely studio you got there going, Rob.
Yay, it worked. Okay, and it's coming through on both channels. Thank God.
And I love the shirt as well.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I didn't even dress to... I'm wearing a shirt from Labyrinth, and I didn't dress to be video tonight, so...
I don't think anybody do, but you know what? We got to put on our best face.
That's right. That's right.
And now, this shot of Fireball is to commemorate 700 amazing episodes.
Thank you so much, my friend. I'll take a shot of water. Or is it water?
I'm surprised you don't have a bottle of wine there.
I'm kind of surprised I don't either, but maybe I think something about
I'm actually going to be giving you my bottles of Moscato when I can't drink them anymore.
Oh, darn. Free wine. What am I going to do?
It's good wine, too.
It's good wine.
No, she'll come over and help you drink that wine.
Well, Rama, anything else you want to say here on episode 700? I appreciate you beta testing this whole Plan B setup, but at least we know it works now.
In IT, a beta test is generally the real deal, so it's all or nothing.
As a famous YouTube viral clip once said, fuck it, we'll do it live.
There you go. And by the way, Metroid Return of Samus is fucking amazing.
That game is awesome, and since we are on video, I have a chance to show the listeners that call in tonight the beauty of my Samus 3DS, which is amazing, and I love it. So,
and awesome. I have to say, I can't give GameStop as much shit as I used to because I got a collector's edition from their store on Saturday.
You can give them as much shit as you want. Okay, what's it? I have to admit, I missed the collector's edition. So what is in the collector's edition that's not in the regular edition?
Hold on. Let me see if I can find it.
Sure. Why not? We'll do it live.
Here we go.
All right. He found it. Yep. He's got his collector's edition. He found the 3DS. And ActDeft in chat also says, I'll still give them shit. Okay, so it's one of those little paper boxes.
But you know what? They gave me the collector's edition, which is the soundtrack to the game.
Nice. Oh, can you Dropbox me that?
I got you.
All right,
I got
thank you. Thank you.
And it's a normal cover, but...
Oh, that's where the flippy cover is, huh? Yep. Reversible, so you can make it an original Game Boy. Yeah, I saw that.
And when I went looking online just to see if I could make sure I could find it, it seems in the UK they got the Legacy Edition, which was more stuff. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, I thought I saw something on Twitter where like this guy had like a ton of that stuff. It was like there was it almost looked like there was a sculpture, amiibo, and it was all this crap. This is awesome. Art book.
But you know what? From GameStop, I got a box of Reese's Puffs cereal. Can't top that.
Why?
I don't know. I have a couple of friends that work at GameStop. I guess when you picked up your copy of Metroid,
No, Rami, you don't need to answer that. Why the fuck not, Loki?
That's weird.
Why the fuck not?
Because it's weird.
No, it's not weird. Peanut butter is amazing in all forms and should be encouraged.
Dude, there's a thing of Jif right on top of my microwave, okay? Crunchy style.
Good times. All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go to try squeezing some more calls since we lost some time here with the Skype segment. But I appreciate you, as always, hearts, and good luck with everything on Anime Jam Session this week.
Oh, you got it. You take care, bro, and play more Metroid.
You don't got to tell me twice. All right, see you, my friend.
Dude, later.
All right, bye. All right, so Skype now works if you want to give us a call at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, and we figured that out. So again, it is hooking up at my iPad through my mixing board, and what was happening there earlier is that I had him plugged into a port where admittedly it was the left channel only, but that's because only on some things will it work on the left and the right channel where it's mono, and I fixed all that. So now they said the only bummer is that if I don't actually catch a call, you're going to hear the ringing noise. I thought I'd picked up a call, but apparently that didn't happen. So if that person wants to call right back, we'll try to get them on. Again, it's Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. I think the bummer about the iPad is it takes a minute to connect versus the other one takes a minute to come through. So we'll see what happens here. Live on our 700th episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Whew. So, Houseception, I only overheard part of that conversation. You're going to give it to your kids someday?
It would be cool to, like, design a set for my kids that's, like, unique.
I like that. That's a good idea. All right, let's see if maybe this call is coming through now. I think it is. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Elliot B.
Hi. Wow! Are you calling all the way from overseas, or are you still in New York now?
No, I'm still in New York. Okay, although it is a bit late here.
So it's a little bit later, but not like crazy later. Well, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Hey, it's great to see you guys on camera.
Thank you. Yeah. Well,
happy 700.
We weren't supposed to be, but things being as they are, that's how it worked. So thank you very much. What's on your mind tonight?
It was actually my birthday today, or, well, for the 1 minute left of it.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday with a minute to spare. It is my good pal, Jonko. It's his birthday today, too. He was one of the hosts of Koopa Club when that show was still around. So a toast to birthdays. what's on your mind tonight?
Well, so I actually want to talk music games.
Please.
I managed to find, I was in a secondhand game shop in New York and found a secondhand copy of DJ Hero 2 for $20.
Did it have the controller with it too?
Right, so not only did it come with a controller, it came with two turntables and a mic.
Oh, nice.
Just like that old Beck song, two turntables and a microphone. That was like a collector's edition at one point. Wasn't there like a collector's edition you could buy?
They had the one that was...
I feel like there was.
The collector's edition actually had like it was a case that turned into a table. So like it had like a fold-out thing on it to put the actual turntables on.
Okay, DJ Hero 2 is like severely underrated as far as music games go too because... Well, have you had a chance to play it?
Yeah, quite a bit.
What do you think?
I was playing it this weekend. I really like it. I mean, it's very, very technical. I'm surprised by how complex the controls are, how many buttons and knobs and sliders there are. You know, there's so many kind of things that I'm used to kind of, you know, Guitar Hero where you're just like, you've got five notes and then maybe the hammer-ons and stuff.
Right.
And here you've got like, you've got a crossfade and you've got to turn the dial and you've got to scratch in different ways and yeah.
Yeah, it's very different. It's not like Beatmania 2DX, which it's really easy to compare it to. But you're right. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on. But I think that game is tragically underrated, really. And it kind of fell out because they oversaturated what was going on with Guitar Hero and Band Hero and all that stuff kind of oversaturated that market. And it's a real bummer that DJ Hero kind of paid the price for that because that series is awesome. And I really love the concept of mixing the two songs together. I think some of the remixes that came out of those games are like the best. I don't remember if it was in the game itself or it was DLC, but there is like there's a Mary J. Blige versus Queen. It's
in the actual game.
It's All of Me and Radio Gaga. I think of the two songs mixed
together.
That
is such a good mix.
It is so good. Like that is like that song is like one of my favorite things to come out of a music game ever.
Ooh, I have to look out for that. No, I don't think I've unlocked it yet.
Yeah, either it might be, see. I feel like it might have been in DLC, but hopefully the DLC is still out there.
Yeah, I really like the fact that it likes to freestyle and stuff, the improvisational aspects.
Right,
like is missing from so many music games. There's no creation going on.
Right,
and you know it may just be like playing samples to a beat, but. You know, that bit is so much fun. It's so rewarding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's great. And, yeah, so the fact that, you know, some music games that are done today are kind of done a little bit lazier where they're not really key sounded. And I think with DJ Hero, you had those key sounds. So it's like if you were playing things off beat or you are freestyling, the key sounds would kind of come out in the game. And I think it's so much more effective than some of these lazier music games that don't really, like, you don't notice when you make mistakes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Elliot, I'm very jealous of your find there. Only $20 for that. I'm going to have to keep my eye out at some of the local thrift stores and places and see if maybe I can find a version of that. Of course, I don't even
GameStop has that stuff dirt cheap.
Do they?
I bought DJ Hero 2 because I already had the turntables. I bought a copy for like $2.
I wish there was
really cheap too at a Dimple.
I wish there was a way to play it on Xbox One or something, like if you had, but like, see, there's been too many changes with the last gen, so that part kind of, was it on PC?
No, well, it was wireless. I have I had a demo controller, so one of my controllers is wireless, one of them is wired, which they never made a wired controller for that, but I bought the, demo unit, because I got it early. With three songs.
All right. Well, we'll have to keep our eyes peeled. But Elliot, it's good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in on this episode tonight.
Yeah, congrats. Happy anniversary. Is it an anniversary? Happy big number.
Happy big number. I think that's a good way to put it. Happy big. There was cake. Happy cake.
Indeed. Yeah, it was weird cake. I saw it on Twitter. It was weird.
Awesome. All right, you take care, my friend. Thanks for calling.
Bye. Have a good night.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to get through. I can probably squeeze in one more call here before we wrap things up for the night. And I think we have one coming in right now, so I'm going to try to take it. If it will connect, if the video will go through, of course, I'm hitting the button. And the iPad takes a little bit longer than the PC does to do this. But when the PC doesn't work, this is what you use. But I think we're finally connected. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Raginator.
Hey, Raginator. Good to hear from you. What's up, my friend?
Not much. Well, first, just want to say happy 700.
Thank you.
And with any luck, you guys will make it to at least 1337.
So we can officially be leet.
Yeah.
How many? Let's see. Yeah. If it took us 15 years to get this far, then it would probably take us about another 15 years to get that far. So we would be looking at, first off, I would be pushing 54 years old at that point, and it would be the year 2032, if I'm not mistaken.
And Half-Life 3 still won't be out.
And Half-Life 3 still won't be out.
Yeah. So, now, I did have a question in mind. It right now is kind of eluding me while I was trying to conduct. I know this is going to be really lousy radio because I'm doing picture, but I made no secret that I've been having PC problems. Now this is the kind of connector that my new fan down bought my computer. It looks like there's a tiny little plug with three pins on it, uh-huh. and a big old honking piece that has four pins on it. Let's see if I can aim it on the inside of my computer. I don't see many places where I can plug.
This is totally a tech support call going on right now. Wow.
Yeah. I don't see anything where that fan can plug in. Do you?
No, because it's too fucking dark. I can't see anything in the picture. Where do those things usually plug in?
They plug in out of the power supply. So if you have a modular power supply, you might be able to do that. Or the other thing you can do too with that is you can buy just at a PC store. Like a splitter. So they'll have a splitter that will be able to, you plug it in and you can split it off to be able to plug it stuff in. You may not have a lot of, see on yours, if you're using a modular supply with like SATA drives, you may not have like the old Molex connectors because those are, they don't use those anymore for the SATA drives. So yeah, I would check if you still have, if it is a modular power supply, you may have some cables for those Molex connectors. They should have something, or at the very least there's something you can possibly buy to split it, or if you really want to, you can cut it and splice it in there.
Hey, look, you're getting offers from our chat. Rama says if you send the photos, he'll link you to everything you need. Chatters helping chatters. I love it.
Try to bring this call back to actual gaming, not tech support. Now, one thing may have been noticing is that as of late, I've been talking more and more about GLG.com and probably a little bit less about Steam.
Right.
Not that I have anything against Steam. I love you got me started on Steam. But is there any on games on GOG that may not necessarily be on Steam that you would recommend that either I or listeners in general may be overlooking?
Well, without totally being a commercial for them, I would say GOG's greatest strength was what they started as, a good old games archive. So they have some really good classic stuff that you don't always find on Steam. One of them that I've always been fond of is Sid Meier's Covert Action, because I'm a big fan of the stuff that Sid Meier has done. So I was really happy to see when Covert Action showed up on good old games. And so that was a game that I picked up. It's kind of like four games in one, but I think it's a lot of fun to play. I really wish the old Civilization game, especially the original, if not some of the sequels, I really wish those would show up on good old games. I know Colonization
showed up, which is pretty good. I haven't played that one through GOG myself, but that is, I think they have not only the actual original colonization game from the late 90s, but I think they have the reimagining they did around Civ 4. Because Civ 4, they did like a reimagining of colonization. But yeah, anything with Sid Meier's name in the title, I'd recommend. I think Alpha Centauri is on Good Old Games.
Yeah, I'm not now. Actually, I'm not too terribly positive, but I'm there's like a 60-40 chance in favor of at least Civ 3 being on GOG. I'm reasonably sure that. They did have a promotion where, you can buy it. They just added and had like on the front page.
Yeah, I'm noticing too some other recommendations from chat where Dungeon Buster says the Gold Box series from SSI on GOG is good, but is really hardcore CRPGs. And so there you go. So I think again the old. Oh, Castles is another old game I bought on there because I used to play that game on PC like a long time ago. I think it was actually Castles 2. But yeah, it's, dip in the archive of old shit from the 90s. You're going to find a gold mine.
All right. I'm sure I'm taking up way too much of your time. There's probably some other people that want to call. But have a nice night. And thanks for all the years that you've been doing the show. It's definitely been making my Sunday nights.
You are most welcome, my friend. Appreciate the call in, and good luck with Rama solving the tech support issue, which now Rama's offering to do a live tech support show here at VOG. I think it would be great. I'd love it. So, all right, take care, my friend.
Yeah, you have a good one.
All right, bye. Actually, and if there's not enough calls for tech support, oops, if I don't mute it, then you guys hear all the Skype noises. Sorry.
What? You're using Skype? This is totally unprofessional, man. I'm not gonna listen to this show anymore.
So, you guys, if they were to do a show like that, I think it would be hilarious. Even if they didn't just do tech support, because it's probably not going to be enough people listening, in all realness, that to fix all the tech problems. But they could do tech advice and tech help and life hacks, if you will, or computer hacks. I don't know. Anyway. So I don't think we're going to get any other calls. So I think I'm going to go ahead and shut off the Skype line for now. Which I guess to do that, I would just swipe up. There it is. Skype is done. All right. So that's going to do it for the Skype line tonight. Thanks for those that called in. I'm very sorry if you didn't get through, especially if it was because of all the technical failures we were having early on. But you live, you learn. That'll be the theme of 700 more episodes, hopefully, of Orange Lounge Radio. I don't think we had any other last-minute stories, right, Loki?
Nope.
So I think it's about time for us to wrap up. Hey, I want to thank you guys for listening to Orange Lounge Radio over these years. Thank you again so much for everything over these last 700 episodes. And we're going to keep going, right on going, with episode 701 next week.
Because who needs a life?
And Dark Sakura is missing people smacking each other with leather. To be here next week. So
yes,
y'all better respect that. So anyway, thank you for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. If you enjoyed what you heard here at the show, please consider telling a friend or five about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to be participating with the show. A nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or Google Play or wherever you found this show, those all go a long, long way as well.
I want to say this, that if you want to honor our episode 700, then everyone take at least $7 and donate it to your local LGBTQ center. Do that for us.
Yay. I like that idea.
Yeah.
That's great. Or buy me booze. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Girl. Dark Soccer's got a way better
suggestion. I'm just going to give you booze.
All right. Dungeon Buster in chat says, thank you for spending your gaming passion and time with us. Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts for tonight, and then we'll bring it back with episode 701 next week. I guess I'll go first, and my final thought is I really need to hang these lights up already. The Dark Soccer bought me like 2 months ago. They're still sitting here, but I'm really lazy, y'all. I need a complete – actually, this whole studio needs to be redecorated, because seriously, we've got posters
up.
You
never did put up the thing that the poster I gave you either, the scroll. The Mega Man scroll.
Oh, yeah. I've still got this. I haven't hung anything new up in here. I've still got a poster for Final Fantasy XI online. What is that? That's a poster for Poppin' Music 11 on the PlayStation 2.
But it's autographed.
No, it's not. Isn't it? No, it just looks like it is.
Is it autographed?
I think it's autographed.
The Borderlands one is autographed. This is Cody got us this Borderlands one when he met all that team locally. So anyway, let's get around and get final thoughts from everybody else. That was mine. So Loki, your final thought.
I guess I'm building or playing Lego thing tonight.
Yay, Lego thing tonight. And lastly, but not leastly, Darksakura.
I don't know. I don't know.
What a perfect note to end on. We'll see you next time with episode number 701 of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for being here tonight and participating in the show. We'll see you next time. Thank you so, so much. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.